back out holding and depreciation funding.
Right.
But that second sentence, it says the funds vary depending on our scheduled replacement of fully depreciated equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you buy a new fire truck this year and not last year for $800,000, mm-hmm. that's going to be an $800,000 difference in revenue from one year to another.
Right, but we don't show that in the chart. That's not counted in the revenue that we report in the revenue charting that we just looked at. We back that back out. It just says that the reason we back that out is exactly what you're saying, Mr. Dewar. It's different from year to year.
It seems like semantics, I guess. I read it differently. But it is difficult because you can't, you know, when we start looking at how much money is spent, we've got grants to factor in there. We've got lost money that goes in sometime and not other times.
No. Revenue is revenue, and we got to separate it out.
The grant money, I agree with you, that is in there. We have the COPS grant, and that ran out. We had ARRA funding, that ran out. And that's not reflected in the revenue because it's not there.
But it can't be local option sales, or it can't be capital projects either. They're outside the revenue.
Right. They're specifically voted on separately by the voters.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is that it? We've got a motion and a second?
Yep.
Okay. No more discussion? Okay.
Would you like me to? I got my other four.
Show of hands, please, for approval. Don.
Yes, sir.
Okay, passes.
I must have put him to sleep over there.
Okay, under petitions, we've got annual Paint the Town Purple Relay for Life event. Mr. Pierce.
Mayor, thank you so much. And I've spoken with Lisa Glass, and she's here tonight. She's been waiting very patiently.
Bless your heart.
That. And, Mayor, you did sign a proclamation declaring May as Relay for Life Paint the Town Purple Month. They had the Relay for Life event in North Augusta last weekend. Great write-up in the paper, very successful event. And Ms. Glass and I have talked on the phone. They're requesting they be allowed to put some purple ribbons up in three places in downtown Aiken. That would be on the post surrounding the fountain on Newberry Street, at Lawrence and Park Avenue on the post there surrounding that intersection, and then at Richland and Lawrence on the post there surrounding the intersection. And it's a fundraiser, as I understand. Is that right, Lisa? Okay. So that would be for consideration by council tonight, is allowing the placement of those purple ribbons at those three locations.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion and second?
I so move. As a cancer survivor, I appreciate Relay for Life for everything they do, and I've never missed a Relay for Life event, and I will see you Friday night.
I'll second it. All right. I'll second it. All right. Any discussion? Show of hands. All approved. Very good. Thank you so much for sitting and waiting.
Lisa, thank you so much. I've enjoyed talking with you very much. Wish you every success Friday.
Absolutely. Okay.
Just one comment, Mr. Mayor. I was out at Woodside today tried to play golf for the Parkinson's Golf Tournament. You had signed a resolution, which I was pleased to have read for the people in attendance, so thank you for doing that.
Good, very good, thank you.
Wish I could have stayed for the golf, but it was raining and they were getting started too late, so.
Okay, good. Okay, no further business. We're adjourned. All right. Gee, this is early than I thought.
Good job.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that so much.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our City Council meeting this evening, May 14th, 2012. We welcome each and every one of you here, and as we go through our agenda, if you'd like to speak on any item, you may certainly do so. And if you do, we would ask you to try to keep your talk to 5 minutes if you can. We never know how many people will want to speak, so that's why we ask for a little limit on the time, and so we appreciate that. If there are questions, of course, then we'll go back and forth answering questions and that kind of thing. No problem at all. So as we begin our meeting, we'll have council prayer and pledge of allegiance to our flag.
Our eternal God and Father, as we turn our eyes and our hearts toward you this evening, Father, we come to you with thanksgiving for the many blessings. For number one, who you are and your love and your forgiveness to us, even when we fail. For your blessings upon us of the rain that we've had today. For this wonderful city in which you've allowed us to live. For the many citizens, Father, who willingly participate in our government. We pray as we debate the issues of our city this afternoon, this evening, that you would give us clearness of thought, oneness of mind, and may everything done in this chamber honor and glorify you and make this city even a better place in which to live. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary to our agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. A show of hands, please. It passes unanimously. Next item, the minutes. Consideration of the special meeting minutes of April 17, 2012. The April 23rd, 2012 regular meeting minutes. And the work session and special meeting minutes April 30th. 2012. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mayor, I move approval of all.
Mr. Mayor, I have one comment and possibly a change. I talked to Mr. Tucker and the owner just before. On page 17 there, and I want to make that clarification now because the gas station is going to get a lot of discussion later. Second paragraph from the bottom. The question had been asked about if a car wash was going to be in conjunction with the gas station. And Mr. Tucker, I think we said there would not be a car wash regardless of what's there. And so I think we need to clarify that now so it's not an issue later in discussion tonight.
Okay, we had a motion. Did we also have a second? Did you second it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Any other discussion?
Let's see, Mayor, there may be a little bit of confusion because I just got off. I think it's actually page 33 of the agenda.
Yeah, it is. It's page 33. It was page 17 of the minutes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It is. It's 17
of the minutes.
Page 33, second paragraph. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a motion and a second. All in favor? Thank you. Passes unanimously. On the presentations, we've got an updated city website that we're anxious to see. So, Mr. Pierce, if
you'd like. Well, Mayor, thank you so much. For quite some time, Wes Funderburg and I have had an ongoing discussion, and certainly with the folks from IT, about trying to keep our website user-friendly. What you're looking at now, of course, is the current website. If you visit www.cityofaconsc.gov, and this day and time, it appears that the attention spans of users are getting shorter and shorter. And I actually, over dinner tonight, I overheard someone talking about you get about 40 seconds on the city webpage. And what we're finding, too, much as with our print media, if you have just a bunch of words as our website is currently configured, it tends to be off-putting and folks don't want to spend the time to have to try and find the link to figure out where they need to go, multiple click to go to the particular area of the website that they want to get to. So, again, Wes and I have talked about this. We've had several samples, and he has worked very diligently and many long hours, including his weekends, as I was reminded by his fiancée tonight, on this project. And the hope is that since we have to have an accessible site, believe it or not, we still have folks that are using dial-up to access the website. We've been hesitant to change the format before now because dial-up in this redesigned website would be very difficult. And at this point in time, dial-up users tend to be a very small fraction of our users of the website. So Wes came up with a beta site. He printed some copies, and we distributed that to our department directors, and they then sat down with their staffs and talked about it. And we believe we have something that will be much more user-friendly. And I'm going to let Wes start talking now, and he can tell you everything he's done with the new improved city website.
As you can see, it's vastly different. One of the things that we went for was sort of how websites are moving towards sort of a blog, news-related site. Also, too, that you can see is it's a bit more graphically intense than the last site because of the dial-up issue and the slow connections. But you're finding less and less of that, more, and your users are demanding more multimedia presentations and graphics, and it helps users find their way around a bit easier. The main page starts off with some of the most important issues, such as city closings, stories that are found in the Aiken Report. We have those up here, featured stories. Also, too, it'll feature anything that's pressing, emergency type situation, water cutoffs of that area. These stories are clickable to where you can go in to read more of the story. Also, too, is hovering over it, we'll pause it. So it gives a user an introduction without having to go into the site looking for information, things that we need to let them know immediately. Down in the middle part here, it's some of the most popular sections of the website that we found users going to, such as business licensing, issues with city council, getting to a department, the archives, the transparency, sports and recreation, taxes and utilities building. Now, as we progress with this website, we may see some of these change in popularity. The system that we've set up will track all this, but also, too, is that we may add more to it if users demand that. We've taken more of with the social aspect of social media. This is our Facebook page, which has over 3,000 likes on it right now, along with public safety's Facebook page, our YouTube page, Twitter, which has quite a lot of followings, and our Plus page. Basically trying to connect with users in any which way we can. Down here, this is it's still ongoing. We're still adding more to this here, but events. We have built a massive event system which takes care of every department, every meeting, everything going on with the city, is that a user will be able to find what's happening and at what time and at what given day. Along with the current news, user doesn't have to click into pages. They can all stay on the front page and get feature stories, latest news releases, services, applying for city employment, property taxes, everything with featured online services, city crime data, and also too with media. What we've done is now that it's video is becoming more in demand, we'll have featured videos here as well, along with new images that we keep putting up. Just like with the old website, we are building what's called a mega menu. This menu will get bigger over time and more graphically intense, but we will stick with the same format. We found users enjoyed having that option there. We're not making it fly out too much because sometimes it can get down pretty far, but we've managed to be able to squeeze all the information within about 2 to 3 clicks, such as the city council. It's very clean, very easy to find. Most of all the boards and commissions and committees will follow the same rule of thumb with what city council is doing, such as with members. Now that you'll find that constituents can email you direct
After that for a while. Thank you.
When they click on the email me link, it'll go straight to a contact form, and it will go directly to you. To it. Also, too, if a constituent or someone wanting to contact was interested to know if they were actually in your district, they can click on My District Map. We've integrated Google Maps within our website along with vectors, KML vectors. So a user can quickly access to go down to see if they're actually in your area. Now, of course, I know with redistricting, that will change, and as soon as that occurs, that will be immediately updated to reflect that.
Wes, could you go back to the email feature you were just showing? One concern all along, of course, with the direct emails, we didn't want you to find, 10,000 messages in your inbox. And you'll see there's a security feature down at the bottom under the text where they have to actually type in that coded word so we know it's a legitimate sender, not just a spammer or somebody that's, co-opting your email address.
With that event system, I can pull out bits of information such as just related to city council meetings, so everyone will know straight ahead when a city council meeting will occur. I know this one here, you won't be having a meeting, so this will actually, I can go in, hit one button, and it's completely out. And every event for that day, since we'll be closed, will be gone. That's dealing with the city of Aiken.
And then on the converse of that, Wes, if we did have a special meeting at council set, then you could easily add that in.
And that will show up on the front page as well. Just as you saw with my district, we've integrated Google Maps pretty heavily into it. We have the at-large map, which actually is just city limits, but District 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the districts combined. For those that are interested in a specific district, we broke them out because with having all districts come up, it does take some time. But again, as redistricting occurs, this will immediately change, and it takes less than an hour.
Is there a capability for someone, if they didn't know whose district they were in, to find out?
We're actually working on that. Okay. We're working on that to where you can type in your address, and it will give you all the information you need, who's, who's council, all the way down to water district by district.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Wes, will you be able to read the street signage and also the
with Google Maps? It's just like with regular Google Maps, you can zoom all the way down and even get street view. Mm-hmm. Onto it.
Richard, have that memo I gave you from that Sunshine organization that had about four or five things, have you shared that with Wes?
Yeah, we did. We did push that out so we can take a look at it. We'd love to submit this. It's a huge leap in the quality of the website, we think.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted some things that we typically have not put on. I think the vendors list and how to get documents. I don't necessarily need FOI, but how to get public documents.
Right, and then if you go back to the main page, please, Wes. To that point, Councilmember DeWar, we'll look on the main page.
The speed of our speed of the site right now is because it's being developed. We can't cache any of this because of development, so it is a bit slower. But once it's released out, it'll produce quite fast.
You'll see that financial transparency is mm-hmm. in the lower left-hand corner, and then the document archives. That's right on the main page. It's literally mm-hmm. one click for folks to access that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wes, could you go to the document archives and so that we can see and folks can see what kinds of documents are available?
Yes, sir.
annual report there. Minutes, agenda.
Annual reports.
There they are. They're all. It's a PDF, Wes.
Sorry?
It's a PDF.
Goes back to 73, 74. Mm-hmm. Annual report.
Budget.
And the city's already been recognized by our state treasurer for our transparency. This just makes the accessibility to the transparent documents even more direct.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge step forward.
Absolutely.
Yep. It's we're currently at about 458 pages and 388 images. So almost there. But it's the research that went into making sure that we put in place a system that was going to be able to grow with us. The last system that we have, we always use open source. So what you're looking at is zero cost. All of this is done in-house, the development, from code changes, tweaks, everything else, we do this all in-house. So it took a while to find a system that was going to be able for us to grow with. The last system came to a point, we couldn't go anymore with it, what we wanted to do with it, the timing, the laser fish, and a lot of other applications we have to wear, you know, warrant lists, things of that nature that the last system couldn't do. So we knew we had to change, we knew we had to update it, but we had to make sure that we took the time and researched to make sure that we can continue this for years to come.
So whether you use Explorer or Outlook or Foxfire or whatever, you'll have total access to this website.
But also, too, with the social aspect of things, being able to plug into our site easily, and just for a better user experience.
What date are you looking for to go live?
Actually, we have about 2 weeks left.
Okay.
We wanted to present it to council tonight, see what questions you had, any comments you had, and hopefully have this up and running over summertime. That'll give us a chance to work out any bugs before our heavy use period, which tends to be in the fall for the website.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is good. I had indicated to the people at the Sunshine Review Organization that I would call them when we were finished. So if we put in the things that they suggested that we need, then I mean, we've done a lot of work with transparency in this city. I'd like to see us get recognized for it. And quite honestly, it's going to seem partisan, but it bothered me that the county was recognized for a better website than ours. And I think ours has always been better, more comprehensive and easier to use, even though it didn't contain some of the things that they thought it should.
Well, this is a wealth of information.
Yeah, this is
quite impressive.
Very good.
You did
very
a
good.
Tremendous job.
Also, too, with the every department is treated the same, and they all of them get the same exposure, the same layout. So users, when they go from one department to another, they will always see the same system of navigation. They know what will be in maps. They know what will be in locations. Everything is pretty much of the topics that's discussed on the main site of the department or division, what have you, such as the public services here. You immediately know where to go for holiday garbage, recycling garbage. And also, too, you can see it on, it's in the event system. So every day you're going to see when the trash is being picked up.
Kind of like an airplane with all the redundant systems, this website, there will be numerous ways you can access the same information.
That's correct. It's the same information, just done in different ways. And if we find users or so that, like one person calls the trash and another person calls the garbage, we can offer both ways. No problem.
Well, if this is the vision that council had for the website, we'll just proceed to go forward. I would hope by the time of the June 11th meeting, we'd be able to let you know how close we were.
And I'd appreciate it if, when it goes active, you'd put it in your issues and answers, which, as you know,
I
copy to send on my list. So
absolutely.
It'll help get the word out.
Great. It's great to get the word out. I agree with you. Yep. And we will have we want to use the summer, too, to kind of build up the use of this new design website. Because right now, if you Google Aiken, South Carolina, our website comes up as the first thing to check. And, this change, we're kind of changing some things, so it wouldn't necessarily immediately go there. So we want to build up the reputation of the new improved site so that it'll come up as number one on the Google.
Yeah. Very good. Wes, thank you.
Great job.
And your team, whoever may have worked with you.
Thank you.
Sure, someone did. And the whole key is being able to find something when you want it, you know, as quickly as possible. As citizens, you know, and me too. If you can't find something, you tend maybe to let it slide or not keep searching too long.
That's that 40-second rule, Mayor.
So this is good. Looks like you can get to just about probably everything you ever want.
Well, and I'd like to publicly commend Wes. He's very humble about his talent, and he has to suffer me saying this so many times, but he truly is a national talent. And there's amazing, amazing creativity with Wes, and he's always wanted this new improved site to be a quality product. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to web design, quality just takes time. But I think we're going to have an impressive, very user-friendly redesigned site.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Wes.
Thank you.
Well, thanks to you both.
Okay, moving to old business. First item, appointments to boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have two appointments tonight. That'll leave us with just six appointments that need to be made by council. Councilmember Diggs has recommended the reappointment of Timothy Redd to the Building Code Board of Appeals. If council approves that reappointment, that term would expire May 12 of 2014. She has also recommended the reappointment of Scott Murphy to the Senior Commission. That term would be through March 14, 2014. So for consideration tonight is approval by council of two appointments to this board and this commission.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
I move approval of both nominations.
Okay. Second, Mr.
Second.
Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Passes.
And I have a consideration for the next meeting.
Okay.
Todd Lister, who wants to continue his service on the Accommodations Tax Committee.
Okay.
Okay. I've got one. Hank Mormon with the Building Code of Appeals Committee, reappointment. Any others? Okay. Very good. They'll be on the next agenda.
Thank you very much.
Item 2, second reading, public hearing, an ordinance to rezone property owned by HEAIK LLC from general business to planned commercial. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by HEAIK LLC from general business to planned commercial. You'll see in the materials that we provided you in the packet, in particular on page 71, that shows you the site of this particular tract, and then on page, well, the very next page, page 72, it shows the current configuration for that parcel. That was the old Verizon business. Again, with HEAIK owning the South Park Shopping Center immediately to the south of this tract, they want to go ahead and rezone so that all the property that they own has the same zoning. This was unanimously approved by you at the April 23rd meeting, and for council consideration tonight is second reading and a public hearing for the rezoning of this tract.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay. Discussion.
Well, I just would want to comment to those folks that are here. This is not why you're here. You're here for the next one. You've got issues with the shopping center itself. So this is more of a zoning thing to put it all together. So I don't think many people would object to it.
However, I would like to remind, if you want to speak on this one or the next one, as Dick has said, the next one I think is the most important to most of you, but you may speak on any of these issues. Would you come up to the mic, however? I didn't mention that, and just give us your name.
Yeah, the mic is...
Mic right there. Looks...
My name is Linda Lance, and I grew up on Whitney Drive, which is right across from this whole big enchilada. And my mother is here today, and my family and some friends who also grew up there. And my mother asked me to just ask some questions of the council, and I think it does, one of the concerns does go to this ordinance, so if y'all would indulge me on those kinds of questions. It seems to me that once this zoning change is made, then that is the triggering event for things like a gas station to be able to be built on this parcel. And I know in your ordinance you say a concept plan still will need to be approved by the council, but there's nothing in any of this, as far as I can tell, that would exclude the use of this parcel for an 8 to 10 pump gas station. Is that correct?
The city attorney would have to speak to that, Mrs. Lamb.
There's not anything in the documents right now that would prevent that from happening.
So as soon as this, so this is the key ordinance for that piece of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily. Anyway. I mean, the concept plan can make specific provisions regarding what the site will look like and how the site will be developed. That's what the concept plan does.
Yeah, I understand that, but legally,
I would ask. Ed's not here tonight, is he? If I'm not mistaken, a gas station is allowed in general business.
Absolutely.
And so the way it's zoned right now would allow a gas station to be developed.
In exactly the same form as would be allowed in this. And this ordinance waives the planting strip requirement that goes with the PC zoning. So it seems to me that the planting strip under current law with this zoning category is 30 feet, and this would allow that to be changed in the concept plan and reduced. Seems to me that never would such a thing be more important than when you're thinking about building a big, light, noisy gas station or fast food restaurant. So I wanted to make sure I'm correct in my understanding about that and why the council would consider doing that.
The planning strip is actually contained within the ordinance that's going to approve the concept plan. That discussion is in the following ordinance.
Well, it's in this ordinance, though, I think. Or is it in the concept plan ordinance?
It's in the concept
plan. It would be in the concept plan.
Okay, so nothing in this ordinance would waive any of the requirements for something that is zoned planning, planned commercial, or what PC
is. That's correct.
With the planned commercial, we can decide what we want in there. Council can decide that. If we want more,
and Mr.
we can
Smith.
Decide that.
But is it unlike, well, we can talk about this more when we get to the other one, but I might as well
probably
do it now since we're talking about it.
Sure.
Is it, I mean, y'all are considering waiving that 30-foot strip, so I assume that same waiver would apply to this parcel that could build, have a gas station or a convenience store built on it as well. Is that correct? This waiver, there's no reason to think that you would waive it for the rest of the shopping center and not waive it for this parcel.
Well, again, it would, this rezoning is hinged upon the approval of a concept plan. So with the planned commercial, Mr. Smith can correct me, my understanding is there will be a concept plan for how the total area will be developed.
I wasn't clear on that because it sounds like there might be two concept plans, one for this tenant, and the concept plan you're going to approve today doesn't address at all who that tenant will be, because I assume the developer doesn't know yet, right? So there would need to be a new...
I think if you look on page 89, it shows a concept plan for this parcel. So that does not show a gas station. It shows actually individual retail establishments. So the rezoning is conditioned on the concept plan that council will approve or not approve tonight, depending on how the vote goes. So this may be an appropriate discussion for the next item, because I think there are other folks, too, that want to share your concerns. But if you look at that concept plan, it's on page 89 of our agenda. Mm-hmm. And it shows specifically individual retail businesses.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm sorry to take so much time, but this is kind of confusing, and I know you want to be transparent with everyone, and
absolutely,
we appreciate that. So my understanding was that if this rezoning takes effect and the concept plan that's before you is approved, there would still need to be another plan before you for this parcel.
Nope.
Because the tenant has not yet been identified for that parcel.
The concept plan is in the next ordinance, and it does apply to this parcel.
They would have to come back when they determine what they would like to put there.
Because that would be a change.
That'll be another concept plan?
If there's a change from the concept plan that's been submitted so far. Because the concept plan that's submitted now does have a proposed use for this parcel that the council's considering rezoning.
But I think our concern, and I think many maybe, is that that concept plan that's before you lists several options for the use of this new parcel that's being rezoned. One of them is a gas station, one of them is a fast food place, one of them is a bank, I think. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is, could the developer say, well, our favorite tenant is a gas station, and so that's what we're going to put in there. Y'all already approved this concept plan. You can't say anything more.
No, that's not true. They would have to approve whatever goes there.
Right.
Who would approve that?
City Council.
City Council would be a public
meeting. Okay, so what is it that triggers that? What tells them that they've got to come back to you when they have a tenant?
As I've said, Mrs. Lance, we've got a concept plan on page 89.
Yeah.
It does not show a fast food or a gas station in the parcel that's being considered for rezoning. That's a separate parcel that's on Whiskey Road. We're talking about the parcel that's on Colony Parkway.
I think I do understand what you're saying, but I guess I'm just trying to understand what you're saying to me is, well, not to worry, because just if we rezone it, that doesn't resolve what's going in that parcel, and
issue
will come back to you. And I'm trying to figure out why it would come back to you.
If I could explain, Mrs. Lance, it's because this rezoning is conditioned on the concept plan that council adopts. So we're going to talk about the concept plan next.
Yeah.
So I think we're a little ahead of ourselves. The rezoning won't take effect if the concept plan is not approved.
Okay, but let me track through it in a different way, because let's assume that the rezoning is approved first, and then you turn to the concept plan tonight and you approve that. And then the community says, well, gee, we were really worried about the gas station option being selected by the developer. What if you approve both of those things? Can the developer decide that the gas station is their favorite tenant without additional approval by the town?
No. It would come back to us.
If it's a change to the plan.
It won't be a change.
In a meeting such as this, it would be back.
My understanding is that your concern was about the parcel on Colony Parkway. Am I misunderstanding?
Yeah, I think you are. I'm concerned about the 1.56-acre parcel that's being rezoned in this ordinance.
Okay, the rezoned parcel is the parcel that's on Colony Parkway, not the out parcel. Yeah, that's where we're having a disconnect.
Yeah, but the concept plan, I guess all I'm asking is that you could point me to the paperwork that says to the developer, once you decide who that tenant is, you need to come back to the council and get that approved. Because I guess I can't find that.
Yeah, no, that's
In the next ordinance. Yes.
We're confusing you a little bit. This first parcel applies to the Verizon building. Just going to rezone it, essentially. Next item, we're going to talk about the concept plan. And what we approve tonight will be what the developer will use to build that. As long as he builds in conjunction with what we approve at the next item, he doesn't need to come back to the council.
Yeah.
He only needs to come back to the council if he wants a change.
Right.
It is with our authority, as I understand what our city attorney has said in the past, and he'll clarify it as soon as I finish the sentence, it is within our authority to say no gas station tonight. And then he can't do a gas station.
Okay, but if you don't say it tonight.
If we don't say it, then he can build whatever the ordinance says he can build for that zoning.
That's what I was trying to clarify.
This is our chance to shape what is going on that property.
I understand now, and that's what I was trying to get at. And I appreciate your patience with me and walking me through it.
So, no problem. We're glad you're here.
I know other people want to talk, and maybe we'll discuss it more with the ordinance, but thank you for giving me the time.
Well, thank you for your comments and questions. Believe it or not, we like comments and questions.
Absolutely.
It helps us too many times. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this? Okay. Let's see. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please, for approval. Passes unanimously. Okay. Now, item 3, second reading public hearing of an ordinance approving the concept plan for South Park Shopping Center. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance for consideration tonight is an ordinance approving the concept plan for property located on the east side of Whiskey Road and known as South Park Shopping Center. As you will see on page 77 of your agenda packet, the concept plan is contained in Exhibit A in the materials, and as I cited, that's on page 89 of the council packet, and then as far as the facades, that's on page 90 and 91 of the council agenda packet. There are several conditions, and these originated from the Planning Commission's review and staff recommendations based on their review of the plan. Number one, that the development conform to the approved concept plan and conditions of approval be listed on the concept plan. Two, that the concept plan meet all the requirements of the peace plan commercial zone unless waived by city council. That the facade and canopy of the outparcel building be approved by the planning director, and that it be predominantly the same materials and colors used for the shopping center with no bright colors used except as minor accents. Four, that the site and landscaping provisions of the zoning ordinance be met unless deemed impractical by the planning director. Five, that all of the existing landscaping in the islands be any of the landscaping in the islands deemed unhealthy by the city horticulturalist be replaced, and that in such islands or any new ones that the soil be improved as required by the horticulturalist. Six, that the requirement that the planting strip along Whiskey Road be 30 feet deep be waived, but that the project comply with other large retail project provisions unless waived by council. Seven, that the outparcel freestanding signage by monument type designed to be compatible in the design to that of the main shopping center, limited to 60 square feet, 12 feet tall, and that the final design be approved by the planning director. Eight, that the developer agrees to the conditions and that the signed agreement be recorded at our RMC office. And nine, that that agreement be recorded with 180 days. You have the report from the Planning Commission with their recommendations. The changes to the ordinance that we discussed at the last meeting are included in the conditions that I just read into the record. We have had traffic engineering studies by the developer and by our on-call traffic engineer, Roger Dyer, who is here and present tonight. Really, the transportation issues are separate from the development issues. Mm-hmm. What I would propose to do is let the developers here, Tom Vincent, who represents the Halverson Group, and, of course, HEAIK LLC. Bill Tucker, who was with you at the first reading, is also present. Tilden Hildebrand is here, and the landscape designer is also here and present in the room to answer questions. Just for the record, so council is aware, we did have a meeting with representatives from SCDOT, and frankly, in that meeting, they were very comfortable with the current traffic configurations as they are, and did state in that meeting that there were not warrants sufficient to justify a left-hand turn arrow in the southbound lane from the southbound lane of Whiskey Road into the subdivision. Furthermore, we have some updated traffic counts, and we've asked Mr. Dyer to do a detailed study to file with DOT about potentially designating a left-hand turn lane to handle traffic patterns. Those counts reveal that the right-hand lane in the southbound lane, that's the lane that's closest to the golf club, handles close to 70% of the traffic in the morning and afternoons, and that's an average of both of those traffic counts, and about 30% are using the lane that are closest to the center line. So that kind of underscores some of the presentation you heard at the first reading of this ordinance, that folks tend to go to the right-hand lane because they know somebody's going to be turning left, either at Boardman Road where there's a traffic signal, or on down at Colony Parkway, at the Applebee's, or again into the shopping center. But most importantly, and I know we've got several residents here from Aiken Estates, and you should have in your packet, I believe we had three separate emails. One was from Julia Westbrook, another from Ken Courtney, and then another from Paul Carinko, who expressed some concerns about a proposal for a gas station in the concept plan and the designation of a left-hand turn lane. certainly what we're going to do as far as the left-hand turn lane goes is have Mr. Dyer prepare a report. We're going to submit that to DOT, and we'll certainly come back to council with the results from that. Again, even without, as I understand it, without the redevelopment of the South Park Shopping Center, we're going to have increases in traffic on Whiskey Road. We've certainly seen them in the past, and we'll continue to see those. But DOT, since they're comfortable with the current configuration, we would like for them to be on board for some proposals to handle traffic in the future, and that's a 5 to 10 year plan. We don't want to get caught unawares with that. But back to the concept plan, Mr. Tucker's here and Tom Vincent is here. And I didn't know, Mr. Tucker, how you wish to proceed this evening, but we'll let you.
Before we go too far, I'd like to have a question, and I have another comment. On page 77, I'd like to understand, number six, why the requirement for the planning strip along Whiskey Road, 30 feet deep, was waived, to be waived. Why was it asked to be waived? That's my question. And then my comment is over on page 81, my suggestion. Down under three, and it's the 1, 2, 3, 4th little dot where it says the plan shows an 8-to-10 pump gas station and convenience store as a possible use on the proposed out parcel. Because a specific use has not been determined for the out parcel, it is unclear how the layout will affect the vehicular and the pedestrian traffic. Since it has not been decided to put a gas station there, by I understand by the proponent, the owner, I would like to see that first sentence deleted, because there are many possibilities of other things that could be put there that might come up. I think this is perhaps leading folks to believe that there will be a gas station there. And I certainly, for one, am not inclined to support that. But since it is saying it is possible, there are other things that are also possible. So I would just like to ask council, when it gets to this point, to consider deleting that first sentence and just leaving this, because the specific use has not been determined for the out parcel. It is unclear how the layout will affect the vehicular and the pedestrian traffic. I think that's a true statement. So I just wanted to get those two things out.
And that's fine, Mayor. If you look on page 83 of the materials in the report that was received from the Planning Commission, mm-hmm. the explanation was provided. It said the project is supposed to come into compliance with the following large retail provisions, and it cites the section of the zoning ordinance. It says the 25-foot deep planning strip along the Whiskey Road and Colony Parkway street frontages should be increased to 30 feet. However, while the depth of the strip along Colony Parkway will be increased to 30 feet, it is impractical to do so along Whiskey Road, where the strip is 25 feet deep, because the impact it would have on the parking lot. So that was at least what Planning Commission stated as its basis for including that condition six.
So are we saying take it all out?
No, sir. It would just remain at 25 feet, as I understand the concept plan that's submitted to you.
Okay, it doesn't say that on that item six. That's what threw me off, because it just indicates we waive it.
And certainly, you know, that's the could clarify that in the ordinance if that was a concern.
Okay, I think we should.
Item six, it does need to be clarified.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, thank you. Bill Tucker from the Holbert Law Firm, and as I do every time I come before the council on a project, I find my friends and fellow church members and all that opposing me. So I always find that a little awkward, but I'm here to represent my client, Halverson Development, tonight. Remember, had a very thorough discussion and presentation 3 weeks ago at the first reading. We have those storyboards back tonight, and happy to share those. Plus, of course, you've got the electronic versions. And I do have with me tonight Tom Vincent from the president of Halverson Development, who has been prepared to speak to you and answer questions and hopefully diffuse some of the concerns that you have. Just to start, I would say that, Mr. Mayor, in answer to your question, it's the 25 feet is just preserving the status quo. It's not waiving that entirely. It's just leaving the Whiskey Road buffer as it is. So it would be no change to that.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
As Richard has already pointed out, we had a very good meeting. Reggie was there representing the city, and Stuart was there, and Larry Morris made a very good presentation to representatives of the Department of Transportation. After probably an hour or so of conversation, there was sort of the light bulb that went off where they said, well, this really doesn't have any impact. I mean, you have a problem, and we're willing to listen to your problem and consider your suggestion for the designated left-turn lane, but your own traffic study and that of the developer reveals that none of this is necessary for the completion or the undertaking of the improvements to the shopping center. And so, you know, you're free to proceed on that. So we felt that we do need to separate the two. We are happy to participate and encourage the city to continue to work toward designing some solutions to the traffic issues there. But we would ask that we not hold the project hostage to those concerns or those ideas that might be coming in the future. I want to thank Representative Young and Senator Ryberg, both of whom were present at the meeting and lent their support from a local delegation standpoint, make sure that this was being taken seriously by DOT and not being swept under the rug. But it seemed to me that the two issues that came out of the 3 weeks ago session was the traffic study, and I think we've addressed that now, and then obviously the possible use of the outparcel, as you have just described. We do, as Richard has said, we do have the other people who are involved in this design, including the landscape architect, our own traffic engineer, and Tilden Hildebrand as the engineer, of the civil engineer, here tonight to answer any questions that you have. But I would like to, at this point, introduce Tom Vincent, who was not able to be with us 3 weeks ago and did such a great job in front of the Planning Commission, and I think that he may be able to answer some of your concerns that you may have concerning not only the whole project, but particularly the possible use for the outparcel. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Tom and let him sort of summarize where the developer is in their plan. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for this opportunity to present this project to y'all tonight. As Bill said, I wasn't here for the first reading. I had a prior personal commitment, so I wanted to make sure I was here tonight to answer any questions and to give you an overview of the project. I don't know if I could get some help with this.
She's bringing it up. You need the overhead.
Get my gal.
She's bringing it up.
Okay. Bring it over to you?
No.
Just wait.
George's right behind you.
Okay.
There we go.
I think this exhibit's probably in your package, and it's really the embellishment of the site plan that was just down the screen. But it has the landscaping details and some other things that we'll talk about so that we can do it hopefully pretty much all on one plan. That's fine. Okay. My name is Tom Vincent. I'm president of Halverson Development Corporation. We're located at 33 Southeast 4th Street in Boca Raton, Florida. I also represent the fee owner of this property, HEAC LLC. That is a partnership, one of the many partnerships that we've used for the acquisition and the development of this particular property. That acronym is for Halverson Holdings, which is the holding company of all the Halverson companies that we have. And Ezon, which is our joint venture equity partner that we've been with for almost 25 years now. We've developed retail centers in a variety of retail developments all over the Southeast, the Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, and millions of square feet of different developers, different degree of centers, power centers, small anchored grocery centers, medium-sized mixed-use retail developments. So this venture here is something that is right up our alley. We bought the property about 2 years ago, and actually we're preparing plans to move forward at that time. But when the economy went south, we sort of slowed the progress of the property down. At the same time, however, Fresh Market came on the scene and was interested in the site, interested in a presence in town. And fortunately, we were there at the right time with the right location. We worked with Fresh Market for the better part of 6 to 8 months and put together a lease opportunity for them here. We've since worked on all of the engineering, elevational characteristics, site development issues with staff, pretty much came to a resolution on just about everything that we needed in order to move forward, and assembled our applications, and now here we are tonight. There's several things about the project I'd like to point out, though. Everybody's familiar with the current state of the property. There's one tenant left in there that will go out the end of June. Our development plans, if everything goes forward, was to commence construction the beginning of July, possibly the end of June, but more likely the beginning of July. We'll be filing our building plans and site development plans probably sometime in the next week to 10 days, subject to the outcome of tonight. And right now our goal is to have the redevelopment of the essence of the center complete by the end of the year. That would include a total reconstruction of the existing facade of the inline part of the development, and the addition. Oops, I think I turned you off.
Mr. Beatonbow, bring it back. You're back.
Okay. And this additional 2,100 feet of a new retail development to help balance out the overall facade. This, we'll get to the elevation. There's an elevation included in your packet that shows all of the elements that we're going to recreate along the entire storefront canopy line. This is the Fresh Market space. We have interest in several of these other spaces. I can't disclose specific tenants yet, but you know, our goal here is to work with the Fresh Market ambiance and the character of the centers that they typically anchor to create a nice arrangement of specialty retail shops, restaurant uses, uses that can all cross-shop with each other, promote pedestrian access throughout the site, back and forth to the rights of way, and throughout the entire site. The this building up here that you see at Long Colony Parkway, that's an additional 9,800 square feet of proposed retail shops. That'll actually be done in a second phase. When we initially break ground on the property, our construction drawings will include the entirety of the site in this general area, along with, like I said, the reconstruction of the facade. We're completely redoing. The only thing that's really remaining is the actual structure. We'll be stripping the roof, new HVAC units, lots of architectural ephes, stucco, painted improvements. We're going to completely lift the parking lot surface and resurface that. We're going to rework all of the landscape islands, some of which are new, some of which will stay in their current location to preserve the continuity and the flow of the existing drive aisles and parking areas. But all of them will be recurbed, re-landscaped. The landscape density improves dramatically. We're beefing up certain landscape perimeter strips, especially the one down at the southerly entrance next to King's Grant Drive here. This planting strip up here along County Parkway, we are agreeing to meet the 30-foot landscape area. The question that came up about the one along Whiskey Road, the problem with that, we've basically tried to maintain, and we will recurb and re-landscape that entire area to integrate that with the landscape plan for the property. But in the east-west direction of this site, there wasn't literally another foot to be had geometrically without starting to sacrifice portions of the building or other infrastructure that would have just been cost prohibitive with the site. So that was the rationale along Whiskey Road. But there is such a degree of landscaping and new material all going in along there. I think you'll be quite pleased with the end result. I do want to talk about the building elevation. That, I think you had in your packet, if we can pull that back up.
It's at pages 90 and 91.
Actually, I might
write it
goes up. I've got it here. That's fine. We're going to miss just a piece of that.
We could zoom it back out, Mr. Vincent. Okay. Mr. Bebo, do that for you.
Oh, look at me.
Oh, you did it.
Whoa. Yeah, you don't want me around anything electronic.
Well, that's why we had Mr. Bebo on call.
Okay. Well, I got to learn sometimes, so. All right. We'll try with that. Okay. What we've tried to do with this building elevation, we spent quite a bit of time.
Could we slide that up a little bit?
I can. It's a single one-line elevation. We can blow up certain parts if you want. But what we tried to do when we examined the site was to start with an elevation that would give us a variety of different looks, characterizing certain elements of downtown, not a true replica, of course, but the idea being that in the true historic part of the town, you don't get a single typical shopping center looking canopy without any, you know, variation to storefront or individual tenant identity. And that was something that we wanted to try and focus on when we created this vignette, if you will, of different shops. The most dominant one, of course, is the Fresh Market, which is right here. Their building actually extends from this point to this point. So with the attention to the false balconies and the awnings and the different cupola treatments and the color variations, that sort of started the process. Then we started to work with the next major anchor building that is adjacent to that, created a little bit different look in that area. That building actually extends from this point to this point.
It's a little hard to see. Could we slide it to the top of the screen?
Is that better?
Mm-hmm. It's better. Huh?
hold on right here. And then as you move further to the left, you sort of have a mixture or a repeat of both of those elements. Changing the awnings at time, changing the colors of the facades, changing up some of the balcony and storefront work. But in essence, at the end of the day, what you get from end to end is at least a design that has different characters, different colors, different treatments, different roofing materials, something that is an enjoyable experience, at least architecturally and visually. This same building elevation will get repeated to an extent on the out parcel that everybody wants to talk about tonight, and the parcel where the Verizon building exists today once that's developed. So at the end of the day, you'll have a cohesive development with all of the architectural features being integrated amongst all of the buildings, so that there is some continuity and some sense of community within the entire development. And the last thing I wanted to also mention, going back to the plan, we do have quite an enhanced walkway system along the front facade areas. That walkway system has variations of different landscape planners and features that don't exist today. It continues with a crosswalk connection all the way out to Colony Parkway, so that at whatever point in time in the future, if there is a pedestrian connection along that right of way, there'd be that opportunity with the center. That also continues across the entire front facade and crossing the roadway here to the new retail building. So there is, and there's benches and lamp posts and other things that you're not seeing architecturally, but that whole pedestrian scale experience you'll see within the limits of the shopping environment. As Bill mentioned, we have our landscape architect, we have our civil engineer, we have our traffic engineer available, so really would be happy to come back up here and answer questions from the public, or if you have questions now that you'd like me to address, whatever your pleasure.
I have a couple of questions. Is the existing restaurant that's there going to stay?
We are in negotiations with him right now. The Italian restaurant you're speaking about? Yes. Yeah, we are in negotiations with him right now.
Hope that works out.
Yeah, we have some logistics to work out in terms of working around him in the existing restaurant, but he's expressed an interest in staying.
Are you at liberty to indicate other tenants beyond Fresh Market?
I wish I could. I'm not, only because they're not signed. And most of these guys, until we have an actual signed lease, you wouldn't believe the fallout from an announcement like that. But we do have two or three other tenants that we are very close to signing leases.
One of the questions I'll ask our traffic expert later on, which has a bearing, and this is the reason I asked that question, not to embarrass you. Obviously, different businesses are going to create different traffic flows. You can put a Starbucks in there, for example, and that's going to be a much higher traffic flow than, let's say, a grocery store, and I know you're looking for upscale tenants, but I mean that does make that does have an effect on the estimated traffic flow, the nature of the businesses that you put in there. So.
And I think I won't get too deep in traffic engineering. I'll let those guys do that. But the report did take into account a variety of mixed uses, including restaurants. One of the land use codes that's available that we used for the shopping center portion is in fact a land use code that provides for and recognizes the mixed relationship of trip generation for restaurants, general retail, light retail, even out parcel uses. We did have quite a debate with the staff about the out parcel trip generation as a restaurant, but we finally got to a point where we did look at that, and we isolated that separately, and So any of those uses that are on the generic site plan part of the out parcel would be covered within the limits of the trip generation that we recognize in the report.
And finally, would you be comfortable if council imposed a restriction of no gas station or car wash?
I would not.
You would not?
No. The car wash, I'm sorry, I spoke too soon. The car wash is not an issue. We'd be happy to concede that. But the gas station, let me just spend a second on that. It's not like we're out there running around trying to find a gas station user right now. I said that same thing at the Planning Commission. That, truthfully, would not be our first use of choice. The problem is, at this point, not having a user identified for that parcel, in the retail business, especially a redevelopment project such as this, Fresh Market is the key to the success of this development. That lease is a very aggressive lease from a rent perspective. So to underwrite the deal to get it to work, the success of that out parcel in those retail shops is really what it's all about. Without the right income generation from that whole mix, you can't do this project. The redevelopment costs alone are staggering. We even looked at demolishing the entire structure and starting from scratch. That ended up being more costly than just the renovation constraints with the building. And believe me, the renovating an existing structure like that, where there were no building plans per se, nothing to go by, we really spent quite a bit of time and quite a bit of money from a consultant standpoint that we otherwise would never have had to have fussed with if we just demolished the building in the first place. But in any event, it really, truthfully, honestly, just comes down to a balancing act of making the site work from a financial standpoint. And I'm not talking about hitting a home run here if it's a gas station or another use. I'm talking about literally just trying to balance the scales with an out-parcel user. One of the first plans that you never saw when we first arrived on the scene, we had two out-parcels out in the front parking lot. And that was a plan that truthfully would have been a much more comfortable plan economically than what we have here before you tonight. One of the conditions of Fresh Market going forward, and we negotiated with them for quite a while over that 6-month period I mentioned, was about the two out parcels. And at the end of the day, we forfeited the one out parcel that would have been at the outer extremities of the parking field out in this area. You can almost see or visualize how it would set up. Mm-hmm. But they were concerned about their window and just the whole visibility of the store. So internally, not that this is your problem, but you need to appreciate, we took a fairly significant hit to make the project work by eliminating that out parcel. So all I can tell you is we're not chasing gas stations right now. It truthfully would be, the number of uses there, it truthfully would be the use on the bottom of the list. But nonetheless, if worse came to worse, and we exhausted all of our other options, we would, and the gas was a viable user, that's why we put it in there as a proposed use. It's that important. Right. With the proper development constraints, that's why we offered to limit the size of it to the 8 to 10 pumps. This isn't going to be a racetrack or a pilot or any of the obnoxious interstate-type gas uses. It would be something that would be heavily controlled, both architecturally, parapet screening for rooftop units, lighting, architecture, landscaping. There's a lot of things that we've been successful doing in the past with gas users in more of a neighborhood setting than what you might be used to seeing, again, out of the interstate or another location.
I think you'll find the neighbors across the street will generally support your project, but no way do they are they interested in the gas station. Some of them are so close to the property. I mean, right across the street on Whitney Ave, and I think we might have every resident on Whitney Ave here tonight. Just to impress upon you the depth of their feeling. So I don't know how that'll evolve, but I think you'll hear generally they like the project, but they're not interested in the gas station. But it is a good project, and I commend you for what the work you've put into it and the effort. And I wish we could know the other tenants, but I know that if you've done what you've done so far, you put in the right kind of tenants to attract the business. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tom, I appreciate, too. I think we all appreciate the fresh market coming and what you're doing here. It looks great. But I cannot even think about putting a gas station right there with a fresh market. I just can't conceive of that. And I don't, perhaps there's a beautiful gas station somewhere. Maybe there's a beautiful design somewhere. But I've yet to see it. And you're talking about 8 to 10 pumps. And as Dick said, those folks that live across the street, I think it would mess up this shopping area myself, and I'm not going to support it. Flat not.
Tom, one comment. You mentioned that the outparcel where Verizon is, you would develop that in due time, is what I believe. What does that mean? You tear that building down now and landscape it, or you leave it as is where it is?
No, the initial plans, the site development plans we will submit, will include the demolition of that building initially, so that we can grade that pad, stabilize it. It'll be grassed, but all the landscape treatments in the enhanced buffer behind it, some of the landscape treatments internal to the perimeter of the building, the way you see it now, will be installed, and the paving surrounding it, so that all you'll have left for the time being is just the neat modern off pad. And the reason we're doing that is we want to make sure that we promote the retail shops that are on either side of the fresh market and stabilize that part of the project before we open up that phase, so to speak.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other questions right now? If not, we'll have our citizens speak if you'd like. Why don't we arbitrarily here, let's start over on the left and go around and come back up on the right. So if there's anyone over here who would like to speak.
I think you've got the president of the Greater Aiken Estates.
Certainly.
Homeowners Association.
Certainly.
If you'd like to let her start.
That's fine.
Neighborhood Association.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to our comments and for having an open discussion. My name is Casey Knapp, and I am president of the Greater Aiken Estates Neighborhood Association. I am not representing the association at this time. We did not have enough time to get our membership in a location where we could actually put a vote to it. But I am here as an individual resident of Greater Aiken Estates. just a couple of points I'd like to make, and I will keep it brief. My background is in project management, so I have a very great appreciation between development and business aspects and keeping all balance, and the tough job that we all have with that balance. I support the proposal that is brought forward here for the fresh market. I think it will be a great help to our community. But I do have two exceptions to the proposal that they've presented here. I can, again, appreciate the economic desire to make sure this project works for them, the need for that. But I don't see the absolute need for a gas station to be one of them. I'm not in their business, but there has got to be a compromise between a gas station and some other business to come in to make it economically viable for their project. The other problem area that I see is I don't believe that the traffic increase has been adequately addressed, that the impact to Aiken Estates has been adequately addressed. I've read some of the work that's been done on it, and I don't feel that it's adequate addressing our situation. It addresses the current traffic scenario, which now is reasonable. The increased traffic, I don't think it addresses what that will do to Aiken Estates. It is a residential community. It was a community that's there before the shopping center was ever developed, or in this case, redeveloped. I think a weighted value needs to be put on our issues, greater than, say, some other considerations, because this is a residential community with surrounding commercial development. We work very hard to keep our residential area residential and not commercial. We support the commercial development, but ask that the city truly look at the impact that the traffic will have on our residential area. I think it's pretty clear your opinion, Mr. Mayor, on the gas station, and I appreciate that because that is my opinion as well. So I'm not going to belabor the point, but the truck noise, high-intensity lighting, 24-hour traffic with alcohol sales, I might add, the potential for groundwater pollution and effects on our crown jewel, Hitchcock Woods. I just request that the City Council specifically restrict a gas station development as part of this development proposal. I also request that you look specifically at Aiken Estates, the residential area, and put a extra time in that consideration as we struggle to maintain a good, healthy, strong residential community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jason. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, council members, I'm Philip Lockhart. I live at 808 Laguerre Road in Aiken Estates. I've lived there since 83.
Oh, Phil, you're pressing the button on the overhead projector. If you can just take your hand off that.
That's what nervousness will do to you.
Hey, we all have it. Don't worry.
I'm here to concur with what Casey said. Also to commend the developer in the foresight they have and the plans they've set forward to upgrade what was becoming a decaying shopping center and maybe more empty big boxes. But I cannot concur that a gas station will be part of what the gentleman spoke representing them said as a sense of community in the entire development. I see it as standing out as a sore thumb in front of what might be a very beautiful, and is proposed to be a very beautiful upscale shopping center with one of the best food vendors or fresh market available. And people in this room have said tonight, I can't wait till fresh market opens up. But to put a gas station out there would not only have light and noise pollution for the people who live across the street in the 1400 block, which is essentially the block we're talking about. There will also be the tankers coming in to fill the gas, be ground pollution possibility, and other things that Casey mentioned. I believe that even a drive-in restaurant would also present some of those problems, but it's not on the top of my list, just the second one down as far as use of the out parcels. the bank and several other things that they proposed and want to have as options are much higher on my list. And I do hope that the council will see the inconvenience and the other factors that a gas station would bring if they lived across the street, a little over 100 yards maybe from this new gas station. And also Whitney Drive and Nathan Estates have concern about the dedicated left turn lane going south that has been mentioned. I'm hoping this will be addressed to consider the none of the reports I read consider the traffic entering and exiting from Whitney Drive, nor the Little Whiskey Road, I call it, that's the frontage road there in the 1400 block, nor the entrance and exit from Hitchcock Drive as you come out heading north or south. So I hope that this will be considered as well as the improvement to the flow of traffic into the shopping center. We've been there a long time, and we have a hard time getting out now, and we hope that we have a hard time going in as we go north. There's going to be a wreck there sometime as you try to sneak in Hitchcock Drive as you heading north, because there is no turn light, and you can only do it on orange almost. So it'd even be worse if you put twice as much traffic in the outside lane. So I commend the council on their statement so far, two members, about their opposition to the gas station, and encourage others to concur. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
Sure.
Good evening, y'all. Thank you very much for convening this. My name is Laura Bagwell. I live at 919 Shadow Drive. I do not live in Aiken Estates, but I have very many friends that live in that community, and I'm here in a sense of solidarity with them. I'm also here because I'm a concerned commuter who drives up and down Whiskey Road several times each week, several times each day. Lastly, I'm here because I am really excited about having a fresh market here. I would like to recreate for you my reaction when I heard that it was coming, but that wouldn't be it wouldn't be pretty, I guess. Let's just put it that way. I have a brief letter that summarizes my concerns, and with your indulgence, I'm just going to quickly summarize that letter and then submit copies to the council and to Mr. Mayor and all the council members here. I also have email, and I can email it to you if you'd like. As I've already said, I am an enthusiastic supporter about the construction of the Fresh Market at the South Park Shopping Center. This very upscale food market and the associated businesses that it's going to attract will be a real asset to Aiken in general and to the residents and the business owners in that area. That includes Aiken's historic district and the midtown areas, such as I call them. This includes South Boundary area, Aiken Estates, Virginia Acres, Colony Park, Woodward Estates. And I thank Mr. Vincent for the explanatory remarks that you made tonight. That helps clarify a lot of things for me. That said, however, I still have two very significant concerns that echo what two people have already spoken to you tonight about, Ms. Knapp and Mr. Lockhart. My first concern is traffic management. According to the Aiken Leader website and others, Aiken Public Works Director Larry Morris has proposed to create a left-turn-only lane using the inside southbound lane of Whiskey Road from Barnard Road to Kings Grant Drive. The Aiken Standard newspaper also reported that the city is preparing an application to South Carolina DOT to, quote, redesignate the southbound lane across from the shopping center as a dedicated left-turn-only lane to help traffic, quote, flow better. This turning lane would start north of Barnard Avenue and end at Kings Grant Drive, close quote. In my opinion, this proposal is going to create a dangerous bottleneck. This was going to reduce southbound Whiskey Road lane to one lane for a distance of over a half a mile. I feel that proposal is unsafe and furthermore unnecessary. I'm going to submit to you all with this letter several exhibits. Exhibit 1 is an aerial photo that shows the stretch of Whiskey Road that is going to be affected by Mr. Morris's proposal. Exhibit 2 is a set of photos that illustrate an alternative proposal, in my opinion, for what we might do instead, and that is to create a left-turn-only lane using the 400-foot stretch of Whiskey Road that currently consists of 5 lanes in front of the shopping center. This alternative proposal would maintain 2 traffic lanes in both the southbound and the northbound directions, and at the same time would create a southbound left-turn-only lane that is more than twice the length of what exists out there right now. If a left-turn-only lane is required in the southbound direction, and I think that it would help, I think that these changes can be executed at minimal cost using something like just manpower and paint and some new traffic signals. Additionally, and perhaps as an aside, I would like to see every kind of reasonable engineering measure taken that you can take to prevent drivers from turning left onto Whiskey Road, except at a traffic light. I'm talking about real simple engineering measures here, things like signs saying no turn, no left turn, and directional curbing like we now have at the exit from Walmart between Corporate Parkway, Olahit, and Monterey Drive. I think such engineering measures should be installed at all businesses that face onto Whiskey Road. My second concern relates to the possible construction of a gas station at the South Park Shopping Center. The two news sources that I mentioned earlier, the Aiken Leader and the Aiken Standard, report that the concept plan for the South Park Shopping Center does not exclude the possibility of a gas station. Exhibit 3 of my letter here shows that gas stations are already abundant in this area. There are 4 within a 1-mile radius of the proposed development site. There are 12 within a 2-mile radius and 15 within a 3-mile radius. The community really needs a fresh market, and we want it. But an additional gas station as part of that concept plan is not needed, and it is not wanted. A gas station would extend the operational hours of the complex, as several have noted, the added traffic, noise, litter, and potential criminal element that late-night alcohol sales would bring to this neighborhood would be a detriment. So to that extent, I want to ask you to use all existing regulations that we have at our disposal to prevent construction of a gas station in this area, and I hope that I'm glad to see you taking a strong stand, and I want to see you do the right thing on this. I look forward to hearing some creative solutions, and above all, I look forward to shopping at the Fresh Market. And I thank you for your consideration and for your commitment to good governance.
Ms. Bagwell.
Yes, sir.
If you could just give that information to the city clerk.
I shall.
Just right out over there.
I shall.
She could get it distributed.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I think the discussion on traffic, please go ahead, is really good. It's good to have that tonight, but just keep in mind that we're not, if there's a vote tonight, it's not on what we're going to do on the traffic. As the city manager said early on, you know, we will continue to work with DOT. We want them to be a part of this, obviously. It's their road. So we will continue to work and look and see what happens. You know, sometimes we can go ahead and run ahead of things and then find out that maybe we didn't do the right thing. So, but your comments are very worthwhile, and keep giving them to us if you'd like.
My name is Mary Ann Morey Gardner. I own the first house on Whitney Drive, so it would be impacted. I saw in all these things there was no addressing the turnoffs on Whitney Drive traffic-wise. I agree with the statements that were made before, and especially the concerns of traffic and the gas station. I'd also like to add, my father and Amy Taylor's first husband bought Whitney Drive and sold the lots, and it represents sort of the essence of Aiken. It's got a golf course here, it's a dirt road, horses went on. It would just be a shame to put a big gas station spotlight and more than that, it's an opportunity to turn it around and and do the right thing in terms of the environment, perhaps make it a more permeable parking area pierced with, I think a lot of, you've got some ideas for landscaping, highlight that. And that would be, that would look like Aiken, and that would be a better possibility.
Thank you. Thank you, Marion. Anyone else? Just a minute. Let's make sure everybody else has the first due. Yes, sir.
First due. That's good. I like that.
I will be very brief. My name is Robert Lance. I'm the son of Amy Taylor, who lives on Whitney Drive, and she asked me to come tonight and talk to a few points. Again, I have a traffic issue with Whitney Drive, but I know you're trying to separate that from this. So I would say that I do not see Whitney Drive addressed in the traffic study that was done at all. All the other intersections seem to be addressed, but not that. The only mention I saw of Whitney Drive was Larry Morris and Mr. Dyer, I believe, made comments concerning. So I would at least ask that the comments that were made by the two be included in the concept plan so we at least know what they are. I was not able to attend the first hearing on the ordinance, so I don't know what considerations are made at all about getting out of Whitney Drive. Particularly the problem is coming out and making a left-hand turn. And if there were a left-hand turn on the southbound lane, it kind of blocks you from turning. But I won't dwell on the traffic issue.
I would point out that you didn't miss much because the traffic engineer wasn't here, so we didn't get into a lot of detail about traffic.
We'll have some discussion coming up real soon on the traffic.
I understand. The other point I'd like to make is item 9 on the concept plan, page 81. Is this correct that it says lighting adjacent to residential property? Did you mean to say commercial property there?
Where are you looking?
Page 81, item 9.
Oh, 9.
Planning Commission's report.
Was that intended to mean residential? I don't believe they're planning on constructing any residential property on this, are they?
That's not in the concept plan, but it's lighting adjacent to residential property. So the lighting is actually on the planned commercial development. So what they're saying is any lighting adjacent to residential property should not cast a glare on that adjacent residential property.
Are they planning on building a residential property?
You're not understanding me, Mr. Lance. What it's saying is if this is a proposed planned commercial development, and what it's saying is that lighting, which will be lighting adjacent to residential property, it cannot cast a glare onto that residential property.
Oh, okay, I got
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
All right, I understand now. And will the lighting study that's done be something that's voted on separately, or would it be a planning commission issue, or what?
It would be part of the concept plan.
And does the city already have some regulations on the amount of light that can be cast upon adjacent residents?
It says glare. Let's see, Mr. Morris is here. Unfortunately, Mr. Evans cannot be with us. He might can speak to that. Larry, can you talk to us about lighting since Mr. Evans can't be with us tonight?
You know, a few years back we had a similar situation with Citizens Park out there and the housing area that's right across from Citizens Park. And they were very concerned, the citizens were. And so the proper lighting was put in with the proper shielding and that kind of thing. And I personally have not heard a complaint since then. Maybe there have been, but I think that worked pretty well. Larry, go ahead.
Yes, sir. We do have a lighting standard in our zoning regulations that sets the foot candles that can be seen from a residential area. My staff does check that along with the planning staff, so we know that that is met. And we have worked with previous developers to put in directional lighting and to put in lighting shields on the lights themselves. So although you would see the lighted area, you would not see the light. And a good example of that is the lights that we installed on the walking track there at the Weeks track. When I designed those, I designed them to light the specific track, and not light throw light into the adjacent areas.
So that would be something that could be tested scientifically to see.
Yes, sir. It can be tested, and we do look at that.
All right. And that would be brought up at a separate time, correct?
No.
Well, no. It's part of this plan that council's approving, but Mr. Morris is telling you that they would test that.
So whatever structure went there could not exceed the foot candles.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it should not shine into your neighborhood.
Right. All right. That addresses the issues I had. And I would also like to be in accordance with everyone else that I would not like to see a gas station at all there. I was born there, lived my whole life there. It would be just tragic to see that kind of activity in that area. When Food Max was first built, everyone sort of battled that shopping center at the time, too. But this, I believe, would be much worse. So that would be my comment.
Okay. Is anyone else would like to speak at this time? Yes, sir. I think I see. Yes, sir.
I'm Danny Kimball, and I live at 1401 Whiskey Road, and my property joins Whiskey Road. I'm at the corner of Whiskey Road and Whitney Drive, right there. And this will be my front yard. We're talking about my front yard, my property comes right up to Whiskey Road right there. And so whatever across the street is definitely going to affect me. Lights, as you're talking about, would be I do sleep at night, and I do try to sleep in the dark. And, if you got a lot of lights coming through my windows, and that's definitely going to be a problem. I enjoy where I live. I think that's a good location. I'm for the fresh market. I have no problem with that. But again, I do live in a residential area. And we can't forget that is residential area across the street over there. My family has been in this area for about 112 years, and with Kimball Heating and so forth and so on. And so, we understand economics. And I worked on a college campus for 32 years, and I understand facilities, and I understand cost, this kind of thing. But again, I do live across the street. This will be my front yard that you're talking about there. And I do live across there, and I do, again, sleep at night, and the lights will be a problem. I am not for a filling station. Today we have a lot of motorcycles, and I live across the street from Applebee's at the present time. And some people about 12 o'clock at night with motorcycles would just gun these things, and make them just as loud as they possibly can make them sometimes. But I have no problem with Applebee's. They've been across the street. We get along fine. But that is my residence over there. That is my property, and I appreciate again to be able to hear and let you hear my voice on this subject right here.
Thank you, Darren. Anyone else?
Andrew Marie.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I'm Andrew Marine, attorney here in town. I'm here on behalf, well, not on behalf of, but I'm a member of the Ekansas States Neighborhood Association. As a member of the board of directors, I'm not representing them, but I am a member of that organization. And the questions I have is as you've heard, we're all in favor of the project. We think that Fresh Market would be a great addition to our community. I have a picky detail statement. I'm more concerned about the effect that this is going to have on the traffic on Whiskey Road. More important, the southbound traffic on Whiskey Road. And what I would just suggest to council is, there was a mention made of directional curbing, and that to minimize the chance of people being able to left turn into this project, I would just suggest there not only be directional curbing from Whiskey Road into this project, but also into the out parcel. so that people going, turning left are either turning at the street or just turning at the streets and not just anywhere along Whiskey Road. That way we at least minimize the effect that it has on the traffic, and hopefully we'll be able to keep that left turn open for a longer stretch and everything. That's my only input into this, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Anyone else? Okay, and then we need to let our traffic engineers talk too, and that may raise some more comments.
I promise I won't take much time. I just had a question about the meaning of this number 4 on your ordinance of approving the concept plan.
What page?
This is your
page
ordinance,
77.
Page 1. Yes, 77. Item 4. And it reads that the site landscaping provisions of the zoning ordinance be met unless deemed impractical by the planning director. So I guess the general concern that I have is that embedded in here is the ability to waive some of your existing zoning rules without coming back to the public. And I just wondered if I'm reading that correctly or if that is not what that means.
The planning director would have a right to deem a landscaping requirement as impractical. I can't give you examples of what that might be, Mrs. Lance, but again, the planning director does not make significant changes to a site plan. He would insist that come back to city council. This would be for just minor changes. Again, there would have to be some sort of statement, and typically he would look at our city horticulturalist, Tom Rapp, for reasons as to why the requirement would be.
Who I think does a fabulous job.
Well, good. He does, and Mr. Evans does rely very heavily, and you'll see in other sections in here they talk about the horticulturalist being involved in those kind of
things. I saw that, but so the site/landscaping really refers only to landscaping, or does that site term mean something else?
Well, the site plan is this. The landscaping plan is specific to materials that would be planted there.
Okay, but it would be the landscaping element.
No, I'm not saying that. The site plan is this that you're looking at, which is the concept plan, and then the actual landscaping would be the plant material that would be installed. Again, the planning director who's been with us over 25 years now does not approve significant changes. There would have to be a rational basis for that, and anything significant he would refer back to city council.
There would be public notice of that.
There would be public notice of it. That's exactly right.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I think Mr. Lockhart wanted
to. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Quick comment.
A 30-second redo. Is that what you wanted to do? Or no?
Do what?
No. Go ahead.
I'm there.
I said 30 seconds, but no, take 40.
All right. That's fine. My concern was just addressed about the reduction of the 30-foot buffer on Whiskey Road to maybe 25 feet. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, and I'm looking at an older copy of the plans, I'm wondering if the plans to have certain height requirements for the shrubs will still be in effect. Like it talks about shrubs must be 5 feet high after maturity, and they must be at least 3 feet high, and that kind of, will those plans that listed here, those requirements still be enforced?
Yes, they would. The 25-foot buffer, just recognize what's existing there, and Mr. Vincent spoke to that. If you enlarge that, you would impede the traffic flow on those access roadways that immediately adjoin the planning area. But again, the landscaping ordinance will apply to this development.
Okay, without any variance like you're doing with the variance for the 25 foot.
No, because there's not a variance for that, only for the width of the buffer. It's going to be 30 feet on Colony Parkway, but on Whiskey Road it's going to remain 25 feet. And Mr. Vincent said that they were going to replant that, so that replanting will have to meet the requirements of the ordinance.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. We have a traffic engineer.
Our on-call engineer is Roger Dyer. He is here today and will be preparing the submission that we'll file in with SCDOT. Roger,
would you like to speak now?
If you could just speak to the scope of the submission to SCDOT and the inclusion of Whitney Drive? I believe we spoke about that.
Okay. The city was asked by State DOT to do kind of a standard DOT format study looking at the possibility of creation of a left turn lane using the existing pavement. And that study, as required by DOT, will look, in addition to the traffic flow, will look, first of all, at the traffic safety. So we're going to take a look at the crash history, what may have been happening in the corridor with the traffic collisions over the years. Specifically, the work task came back from DOT to look at what the difference would be with and without the left turn lane in terms of the speed of traffic, the estimated or predicted speed of traffic, and the possible need for left turn arrow in the signal down at King's Grant, and any other issues that may arise. So the DOT requirements are pretty specific as to what they want to see, and we're going about doing that right now. We've begun some of that effort already.
You've done some traffic counts in the area, as I understand it.
We did a preliminary look at the peak hours on Friday morning, and Friday morning and afternoon. And just in looking at that, it does look like the outside lane is carrying more traffic than you would normally see the outside lane carry.
And when you say outside lane, Ms. Bedard, just so we're clear for the group, that's the lane that would be closest to the golf course?
That's right, the curb lane or the lane adjacent to the sidewalk. And we were seeing numbers around about 70% in that lane. Now, what we'll probably do, I know you've seen the road tubes out the last 3 or 4 months as we're doing the daily traffic counts for the level service study. We'll probably go back and put a machine out there so that we can get the numbers for an entire day or for more than one day if DOT would want to see that level of detail. So we've begun that effort already. We've talked to Mr. Morris about getting the traffic crash data from public safety. They've given us some preliminary information. We're looking for a little more detail, and we're trying to get that. So,
And you certainly have heard the comments in the room tonight about the concern with folks leaving out of Whitney Drive who may want to turn left and head north. Is that something that will be in the scope of your study as well?
It will be. And the suggestion that has been talked about to take the inside through lane southbound and simply convert it to a left turn lane with striping really wouldn't do anything to affect the ability to make a left turn northbound into Whitney. It really wouldn't change what you would encounter versus what you encounter today. Actually, it may make it a little bit better because there'd be less traffic in the first lane that you would cross, but it really wouldn't make much difference.
Wait a minute.
That would be addressed in the DOT report.
Can I jump
in? There were no traffic counts done for the movement into Whitney in the traffic study that DRMP did, which the engineering company did for the developer, for the applicant, for his submittal. That count was not made. We'll go back and get those numbers and see if it's 10 an hour, 20 an hour, however many it may be.
And before we actually submit anything to SCDOT, you would have a preliminary report that we could share with council and publish?
Oh, yeah. Well, it certainly has to be reviewed by city staff here before.
Okay.
A couple of comments. First of all, I guess I support the project, but I do have some major traffic concerns. So we've not yet looked at a traffic collision data on this road before we decided that we and SCDOT decided that everything was okay and we didn't need a left turn signal. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it was not included in the study report that DRMP did, and normally it's not required unless it's a situation with a hazardous curve or if there's a hill or if there's a known accumulation of a lot of crashes. As this effort was going forward, there was nothing brought to our attention that indicated that there was a history. There's some anecdotal information. We heard about it. We observe things. We go out there. But that was not looked at yet. But it's certainly going to be looked at now in this report for DOT.
Councilman Wells at the last meeting pointed out that when it rains heavily, there's a heck of a puddle down there by Palmetto Golf Course.
Absolutely.
And we talked about that, and the comment was made that SCDOT would not repave it, and that's what's required to get rid of that puddle. Mm-mm. I mean, I'm just struck by the fact that we're talking about going from two lanes down to one, and we're taking the number I'm going to mention might not be correct, but we're taking something like 30,000 vehicles a day, and we're going to take one lane away from them for about a half a mile period. And when the people talk about coming north, going into Hitchcock Way with no turn signal, I can tell you what's going to happen. They're going to wait, and some Aiken drivers will not go without an arrow. And I've been behind people that have gone through two or three arrows before they worked up the courage to make a turn. And the only way they're going to succeed in getting left is to enter the roadway, wait till the light turns red, and you're only going to get one, maybe two, if you've got an aggressive second driver entered. I mean, that's got to be a showstopper for the people trying to get in there.
I'm sorry, Mr. Duarte, I didn't quite follow where you are. Which turn was that?
You're going northbound, coming down Whiskey Road from the Aiken Mall, and you want to turn left into Aiken Estates.
Right.
Okay, and you've got that light.
Again, that's something that we will submit to DOT with the study that we're doing. Our understanding from the meeting that was held last week is that there weren't sufficient warrants for left-hand turn.
Well, with all due respect, I think that stuff should be done before we give final approval to this project. I mean, that's the whole purpose of that. I don't need it.
I would agree with you on that, except that we sat down with SCDOT and they have stated that the current traffic configuration is fine with them, and we're trying to explain to them these issues and concerns that everyone has shared tonight.
It's fine with them, but they don't live there.
Well, I agree with that.
You and I have had a discussion, more than one discussion, more than a dozen discussions on that traffic light. King's Grant and Whiskey, which...
That's what I want to underscore, is the reason for Mr. Dyer's study. He's going to help us with that, because we have to get DOT's attention.
10 seconds to get out, and I would suggest that I don't believe the developer is going to be interested in people that have been to Fresh Market and they've only got 10 seconds to get back on the Whiskey Road from King's Grant. They need more than 10 seconds, just as the people from Aiken Estates need more than...
And I want to underscore that we all are in agreement. We just don't have DOT's attention at this point in time. Mr. Dyer's going to help us gain their attention.
Did you give any thought to controlling the exits? There's five entrances/exits into this property. Have you given any control, as Ms. Bagwell said, maybe no left turns on some of them coming out? To go on the Whiskey, no left turns heading towards the Aiken Mall, or even no left turns coming on Whiskey to a couple of the entrances to try to control where the vehicles enter the property?
Well, with existing driveway access points, it's very difficult, as the city attorney would state probably, to go in and force one to be closed. In a lot of cases, it's considered a taking. In this case, I will say that the applicant has voluntarily decided to take the southernmost driveway before you get down to the signal at King's Grant.
Mm-hmm.
They are voluntarily making that a right in and right out only.
That's the one that's immediately north of the Pizza Hut Express.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's on the concept plan that you have.
Any thought to doing that with the other one?
Well, I think that might be contingent upon what would happen with the outparcel. Possibly there'd be a use where that would not be an issue. I don't know. But certainly the more places that you could do that, then you reduce the number of conflict points out on the Whiskey Road and theoretically make it safer. That does also, though, force more traffic down to the signal, King's Grant, so you may have to do different things down there. So it gets to be kind of a balance.
Yeah. How critical is it that left turn lane only be a half mile long? As Ms. Bagwell said, could we live with a 400-foot one?
I want to clarify something on that. the right now you wouldn't need to go all the way to the signal, because that southernmost access is a right in and right out. You don't need the left turn lane down there. So with this concept, right now you would stop it at the driveway south of Applebee's, and then from that point all the way to the signal you would be developing the what eventually becomes the five lane section. So the distance that the place where you would end the system, where you had a left turn lane and a straight only, that would end at that northern driveway. So between there and by the time you get down to signal, you have the left turn lane and two through lanes.
So from Colony going north down to just north of Barnhard, that would all be left turn only? Because I'm confused. I didn't understand what you said.
What he's saying is that at the Applebee's driveway, that's where you could stop the left turn only, because that's the driveway entrance there. As you go further south towards King's Grant, there's actually a left-hand turn lane there.
I know that, yeah. I thought, I had the impression that we were extending that left turn lane all the way to north of Barnhart.
Well, we're going to do Mr. Dyer's study. What we had proposed was looking at the feasibility of having the left-hand turn lane to handle the left-hand turns at the Boardman signal. So that would mean that you had Boardman, Brandy, and Barnhart, because those are left-hand turns as well in the south, from the southbound lane of Whiskey.
North of here, you're coming out of the two-lane section. South of the signal, you're in the five-lane section. So between, what do you do? At some point in time, the right turn lane, or that added third lane northbound, which actually isn't striped right now as anything, that lane was added, I'm told, to accommodate, was it Foodland, I guess? That was
Food Max.
Food Max
was the name of it.
That was a tenant at one time.
Mm-hmm. So that was the kind of a deceleration lane, really.
Yeah, it was essentially a right turn deceleration lane for that center at that time. In today's world, the left turn lane is much more important than the right turn decel. And the four-lane roads basically are old technology now, or four-lane streets, with the exception, you know, downtown area, we've got angle parking and that sort of thing. Where you've got strip commercial development, you need an odd number of lanes, either 3, 5, 7, whatever. So the technology, if you want to call it that, that's out there today is not the best. So going forward, do we leave it as is, or do we look at something that would create the left turn lane, at least in the interim? Longer term, you know, looking down the road, maybe you want to look at taking that pavement that's in that added third lane and seeing if there's a way to create the five-lane section and bring it a little bit farther north, and then taper back into the two-lane section, just get farther to the north. But you can't do that without a relatively large construction project. This idea could be done very cheaply with paint, maybe a tiny bit of grinding of markings, some new markings, painted arrows, some sign. It's a very inexpensive thing to do, if it can be shown that it works and if DOT will approve it. So this is kind of an interim thing that it would be better for traffic safety and traffic flow than what's out there today once the center gets built out. You know, we have to envision what it's going to be once it's built out. And that's what the traffic study that DRMP, you know, attempted to do.
From your perspective, can you saturate a lane of traffic, for example, in this particular case, going south on that right-hand lane, inside lane, I guess, can that be saturated? I.e., where, you know, you talked about, well, 70% of them already use that lane anyway, but now if 100% of them have to use that, does that get to the point where it really causes problems with people coming and going into Aiken Estates?
Well, we've got over 20,000 cars, over 20,000 ADT now. And that volume, that amount stays the same, maybe even goes up a little bit as you get farther north into the two-lane section.
Mm-hmm.
So it moves up there. It moves, when you get down to the five-lane section south of the signal, it moves down there. It's just that it moves a little bit faster down here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the key questions that DOT wants an answer to is, if you change it and essentially move the two-lane section for the southbound traffic, we're not talking about changing anything northbound or townbound. If you change that design coming southbound, what effect do you have on the speeds? I'm personally more concerned about the safety than the speed, but you know, we did a whole bunch of travel time runs out there about a year ago as part of the after study for the signal system study, the new signal system that was put in. So we know what the average speeds are out there today from all those 60 or 80 travel time runs that mm-hmm. were made. I did most of them myself. So what we'll do is try to model or predict what those speeds would be if there was just one lane there instead of two. So if you back up to the first signal north of Boardman, you know, we're basically carrying that traffic through in one lane southbound. It's just that it's a little bit slower. And when you get down to Boardman, it opens up to two lanes, you know, then folks kind of accelerate a little bit, and they do have about a half a mile there where the speeds go up a little bit. Then when you get down to the signal at King's Grand, start going further south down Whiskey, of course, the average speeds start to go down. So to answer your question, yeah, you can get saturated, but what happens is the speed is going to go down commensurate with that. How big will that drop be? Will it be from 40 down to 20? I don't think it'll be that big of a reduction. Average may go down from 40 to 30, something in that ballpark. That's my gut feeling before we do the analysis. But that's the upshot of all this is I think we move the same amount of traffic. It's just going to be a little bit slower.
Yeah, but you're also basing it on the 90-10 rule or whatever, however many seconds it is. I mean, the traffic on Whiskey right now, under the timing, is really gets the major benefit. But if we realize that it's important to get the traffic out of the shopping center, then you rebalance that time so that you get more than 10 seconds coming out, that seems to me as though that would increase the congestion as well.
The new signal system that was put in last year tracks the usage and the amount of green time that is allocated to the Main Street and all the side street approaches in the system up and down Whiskey Road. So we can go back and look historically at what the percentage of green time is for Boardman or Kings Grand or Pine Log or any of the intersections. And as we see that demand changing, then that system can adjust to that. So if indeed the Fresh Market generates twice the number of trips that the ITE publications predict that it will, and DRMP's study says that if that happens and we start getting queues on King's Grant, that system can be adjusted to give more green time to clear that traffic out. Now, the downside of that would be it may affect Whiskey Road a little bit more, but that sort of thing can be done. Safety department that manages that system, they keep up with that, and they certainly can do that. We can help them with it, but that certainly can be done.
And I understand how it was supposed to work, but I also waited 100 seconds last week to get out, and it wasn't very much traffic on Whiskey. So, the other concern I had was when we make the left turn lane only. I have a concern with people changing, going from the left turn lane only back to the right turn lane, frustrated, they don't want to wait, or what have you. There's very little protection for the sidewalk if somebody makes, I know we can't engineer everything, but if somebody makes a sharp turn back into the outside lane, the straight through lane, there's not a lot of protection for cars going onto the sidewalk. Does that raise any problems for you?
That's one of the long-term things I think maybe needs to be considered. When the Food Max came in and the added lane was put in, actually that part of the sidewalk, I was told by Mr. Morris, actually was taken out. So there's actually a section in there with no sidewalk. The sidewalk that is in there is jammed up against a very narrow valley gutter that handles the drainage.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's called old technology. And that's not what we want today. Today, you'd want raised curb and gutter, you know, possibly a curb lawn or some separation between the curb and the sidewalk if you could get it. And those things, you know, could and should, and I guess, would be addressed if there were a project to look and try to make improvements in this corridor at some point down the road. That's exactly the type of thing you'd have to look at.
Well, it appears as though we're going to probably develop our traffic program after we approve this project, which is not the way, not the right way to do it. But are you confident that if we end up with issues, that there are alternatives that can be implemented to to deal with the with the issues?
Before Mr. Dyer answers, I want to be very clear, Mr. DeWar, because I'm not sure my point's being taken. DOT has no problems with the traffic layout the way it is today.
That's true. I understood exactly what you said.
And so what Mr. Dyer is doing is preparing a report to raise these safety concerns so we get DOT's attention and we can address some remedial measures to make it safer. That's why we have him involved.
I understand. But he's normally involved ahead of the final approval.
But the problem is that DOT has no problem with the way the traffic is today. Your concerns we're certainly hearing the concerns of the neighborhood. That's why we need Mr. Dyer to prepare his report so we get the concerns to Columbia and Orangeburg so they say, yes, we do need to take some action to handle the traffic.
And can we get a copy of his report so that we can share it with the residents as well?
That's what I asked earlier. We will certainly publicize that prior to submission to SCDOT.
Okay. Roger, what kind of timeline do you have on this, do you think? That we would have something, with DOT, you working with DOT, saying, yes, this needs to be a report, whatever. What do you think the timing is?
Mr. Morris had asked if I could get it done in 45 days, and I told him yes, I could, and they gave me the go-ahead last Thursday, I think. So the clock's ticking, so 45 days from last Thursday gets us into end of June or ballpark.
Okay.
And that would be a draft report of what we propose to submit to SCDOT.
Right. Okay. And the project hopefully would get started in July, did I understand, Tom? July?
Yes.
And then it's going to take X number of months before it's complete.
Right now, our projected time frame would be end of June, would probably be the earliest, beginning of July, I would say, to start. And it's roughly about 6 months. We have some things we have to look at when the timing is right for taking up the pavement and the weather turning. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the latter part of October, November, December. So, but in a general sense, yeah, about 6 months from the beginning of July.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So hopefully we would have enough time by the time we get the report to see what is suggested, if anything. And if there's not anything, if it stays the way it is, then we learn once the project is up to see if it's proven to be accurate. And if DOT says we can do some striping, fine. If not, if we need it, I mean, if they do so think that we need that. But as city manager said a number of times, they're saying right now that we don't need to do anything. We all think that maybe we do need to do something. But time will tell when the report comes out, and then we'll know what it says and what we need to do. And it still may be that we have to wait a little while to see whether that's true or not, once everything gets moving.
And I think a couple of things that Roger touched on that you were concerned about, like the signal timing, that's something that, you know, we've been involved in from time to time, but tweaking signals is something that you've got a good degree of flexibility with, and it can help tremendously. I don't know enough about your whole system and how they're all synchronized, but the technology with the system that I think he's talking about is far and away more superior to what you might have been used to dealing with in years past, where an individual site might be only controlled by that signal and it doesn't really effectively evaluate all the green time history from the turn. So I think little things like that, the additional concession we made to restrict that southerly driveway to the right in, right out, those things I think are going to help in the long run as well.
We always have the opportunity to change if we see something's not working and we need to do something else.
Right. Absolutely.
As you go along, will it be a normal practice for you to announce when you've signed a tenant when you're able to speak about it?
Sometimes some of the tenants like to have a formal announcement in the local paper. We certainly would advocate that, and we can get the word out however they'll allow us to do that. But, yeah, we we want to advertise anything that we can at the right time.
Because some tenants obviously will generate more traffic than others. That's the reason I ask. Thank you.
Tom, do you have a traffic engineer here that would like to speak?
We do. I'm not sure.
I mean, if they want to add anything, they're free to do it. Let's just put it that way.
If you let me make a couple of comments, and then if you'd like to hear from them, you're certainly welcome to. The signal timing was one that Roger already addressed, and I just touched on, so I think we've heard about that. Restricting of that one driveway, which we were happy to do, the only thing you got to be careful with, and I'm not just speaking as a developer, I'm just telling you from experience from a lot of years and a lot of retail developments, driveways can be a double-edged sword. You know, the perception that there's too many and we want to restrict them or we want to close them can cut both ways in the long run, and I think Roger touched on that. So he's right. There's an infinite balancing act in terms of giving people flexibility and choices and allowing the traffic more opportunities to exit, enter, whatever the design approach for the driveway might be. But that was one of the reasons, along with the other things that Roger mentioned about inherent rights. But even setting those aside, you just want to be very careful to take into account the circulation patterns in and out of the center and what those driveways may afford in terms of flexibility and not loading trips up at one end of the center or the other that will further exacerbate problems that might not even be a big problem at this point. So I just wanted to mention that. On the landscape issue in the front, again, I did touch on our constraints geometrically with widening that. I know there's been some further discussion. But again, you've got some, one of the unique things about this property is there's already a good degree of healthy, mature vegetation there. landscape screens can also be a double-edged sword. We've had municipalities that want to just go crazy, you know, 30, 40, 50-foot buffers loaded up. That's a huge issue for tenants in terms of visibility. The two main things when they walk in the door and they sit down and start to negotiate a lease are access and visibility. Got to get to me, got to see me. You'll see tenants walk away from a site if they can't get a reasonable accommodation of access and visibility. It's the nature of the beast. So I would just ask that be taken into account. I think with the 25-foot strip along Whiskey, the 30-foot that we are going to enlarge to on Colony, the enhancement along Kings Grant Drive, and the extent of the full mature material that you've already got along Whiskey along with our enhancements, I think you've got tremendously adequate perimeter landscape buffers, you know, at this point. The lighting, and I'm glad Larry clarified that. I was going to make that same comment, but your ordinance is a good ordinance, I will just tell you. From our review, it goes a long way in terms of photometric design. There's a very scientific approach to that. We have to submit that to your staff. It gets reviewed. All the foot candle measurements for every square foot of the property is shown on that plan. It takes into account the landscape material and how that matures and how the lighting blends with that, the perimeter of the property, spillover, glare, there's restrictions. So just to kind of re-echo or, I guess, elaborate on what Larry said, I would tell you that I think your ordinance will definitely address any lighting concerns in its existing condition. That's all I have until there's any further questions. And if you would like to hear from our traffic guy, you're welcome to, or...
Only if he has something he would like to offer that's different than what we've heard.
I would pledge his assistance or support, you know, to Roger during your examination. And
right. Good.
Mr. Mayor, if I could make some comments about the meeting we had with SCDOT.
Sure.
I've only met, well, one of the other fellows from the local office I had met a couple of times, but the others I didn't know, and I'm sure there was some posturing in the meeting and not knowing them, I couldn't read them very well. But the fellow from Orangeburg, and I don't remember his name, and I'm sure Larry and...
Ems Baskins.
You know, he has obviously had a lot of experience in that. And he made some comments in there. You know, he was talking about, and Mr. Morris can correct me if I'm wrong here, but his volume to capacity, he was talking about it was only 80% full as it is stands today. And his perception, and he said it several times, that, you know, the road is working fine now. And what was presented to him, and he did ask the question, does this account for all of the new space that was being developed? And the answer to that was, yes, it accounts for everything, including a possible service station. And that didn't seem to deter him any. I asked, me personally, I asked about the left turn lights. He said it's possible, but, you know, it would take a warrant study, and then it would probably still take a neighborhood issue to make it happen, because just the load of the intersection wouldn't require it. So I think the neighbors being here tonight is very important, and I think Mr. Dwyer and our submittal should really mention how many people were here and where they live is very important.
We will develop the minutes and certainly attach it to any.
And you sure need to do that, because I think this is going to be similar to the light down at Hallettville and Silver Bluff. It's only going to happen when somebody gets killed. And I don't know in South Carolina if it's one or two accident deaths a year it requires, but there's something into that. The other thing you mentioned that I thought was interesting, about how to do the striping and everything, that there's some pretty strict requirements, and Mr. Morris has already mentioned that, and so we need to look at that. He was not very favorable on changing the whole lane, and he said that two or three times in the meeting. So I'm just mentioning that to you, Roger, for what it's worth, and Mr. Tucker, if I'm saying something out of line, please correct me. So he did mention that a couple of times, so I'll bring that up for its worth. So it's going to take the citizens to help that out. Mm-hmm. The other thing he specifically mentioned was to study each street entrance. Whitney was there, and then that little side street. He even said to look at some of the major businesses and when the hours of operation there. And, you know, there's one business there that use the term bar and restaurant there, so it's after hours. So he was giving us some ways to make this happen, in my opinion. So I think with a good submittal, we can get what the neighbors are asking for out there. And it's going to take a good write-up to get left-hand arrows, which I personally believe we need in marking there. So that was my comments, and Mr. Tucker or Mr. Morris may have some other additions to it. But I was very careful about taking notes during the meeting there.
Thank you.
And I think you made the comment before that we probably ought to put this traffic flow in before the project is finished people can get used to it.
At least a month or two before they open up, we ought to implement whatever we're going to implement. That way you get some use to it.
Well, we'll make sure we get the submittal in time for that to happen. But we're at the mercy of DOT.
We always are.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Does anyone else want to speak on the issues? Apparently.
I just wanted to make sure there weren't going to be any more questions that I need to address so I can do this all at one time. One other thing with respect to the gas station, and certainly we've got a long road ahead of us here. We intend to be here for a long time. You know, we want to be good neighbors. You know, I explained the rationale for the gas use and the economic importance of that use, but if I may, maybe a compromise that we'd be willing to offer would be to simply have the opportunity, if in fact we want to do a gas use at some point, if none of the other uses were viable, then maybe in that instance we need to come back to the council for that particular approval. Mm-hmm. And maybe that could be part of the part of the motion tonight for the approval of the center, which will allow us to go forward. But in that specific instance, if it is a gas use, then we need to come back to you.
Well, I think you certainly have the right to do that. Anyone has the right to come back. It's a concept plan. But and being that, council would have to approve it or disapprove it. They could disapprove it. You know, you understand that. If it's not in there when we take a vote, then that's the way it is. But if you want to come back, now I want to make sure this is correct. You can certainly come back and petition.
I think what I'm hearing Mr. Vincent saying is he's willing to accept a modification to the concept plan, which at this point would remove the gas station as one of the possible uses under the plan being approved by City Council tonight. Mm-hmm. And certainly our zoning ordinance and the state statutes allow the concept plan to be modified in the future. We can't predict who's going to be on City Council at that time and what their vote might be at some point in the future, but certainly a concept plan can be amended, and you would have the ability to come back and ask for that in the future if that was something that you wanted to do.
Correct.
But that's no different from us approving it with no gas station. You still have the right to come back and say, I'd like to change, and I'd like to put the gas station
in. That's correct. But he is acknowledging that he understands that you may say no at that point in the future.
So which would you think would be more?
Go ahead and take it out now.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead and take it out now.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure. The minutes would reflect. I'm not exactly sure where in all of the documents. I know this is discussed as a possible use at some point, but
the motion
would involve deleting that as a possible
use. Page 81 is where I noticed.
You could add it under condition one and just say that a gas station use is not approved. In the event a gas station use is proposed, that would have to come back to City Council for consideration.
Sure. And we've had a number of these that have come back, you know, for many different modifications.
But
it's still up to council to approve it at that time or disapprove it again. That's the way it goes.
So council would review the request.
It's kind of interesting, Tom, when you said that was, I think you might have said that was at your bottom of your list of things.
When you were going down,
but yet that's the one thing that appeared in writing.
Well, the reason for that is because of the use, and that's why it needed to be on the list.
But you didn't have the other things on the list.
The use was already approved in the B2 zoning that we're giving up in the Verizon parcel. So to rezone, not that it has anything to do with that parcel, but the fuel sales is not an approved use in the PC zoning.
Okay, I don't know whether that addresses my point or not, but maybe I don't have a good point. But anyway, you could come back at a later date if you decide that's your only choice or that's your bestest choice.
And you believe me, that would be the only reason we would come back at that point. I mean, if we exhausted all of our possibilities. But again, to get off on the right note and to get the project moving forward, we'd be happy to defer that.
Take that out at this point. Not have it included, in other words.
Okay. I think the way Richard narrated it might be a good.
You would just add that as part of condition one, that a gas station use is not approved as part of the concept plan approval. If that use is desired, it must come back to council for review.
Very good.
Do you feel, City Manager, Mr. City Manager, that we need to do anything regarding our discussion on traffic? I think the minutes probably would take care of it, but
it's in the minutes, and certainly Mr. Duarte's the desire council will whatever council decides but I can assure you that we are having within 45 days a draft plan prepared that we will share with council. We will publish that, and before submitting it we will have it as an agenda item and then allow that comment. Then we would only submit the DOT once we've received comment.
Yeah, and then we have to recognize that DOT is DOT, and
we
may,
fresh
market may open, and we may not have heard from DOT.
Well, I hope that's
not... I hope that's not the case.
I hope that's not the case, because I really want to address the concerns of the neighborhood, as I know council wants to do as well. And the good news is that Senator Ryberg is still good till after the first of the
year. Before Fresh Market opens.
Right, so he is on board, as is Representative Young, and I think with that kind of backup, we might be able to expedite. I wish we had some federal dollars involved. That really gets DOT interested.
You ready for a motion?
Okay, it's back to council then. Do we have a motion and second?
Mayor, I'd move that we approve on second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving the concept plan for South Park Shopping Center with a change in item number one, which removes the gas station from consideration.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Okay, any discussion?
Did we want to just clarify under item six, as we mentioned earlier, that the 25-foot buffer can remain?
Yeah. That, yes. I'm sorry. That needs to be reworded, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Anything
yes.
else? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank everybody. Tom, again, thank you. Tom. Yes, that's right.
Tom.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if you heard the neighbors comment, but he said they very much appreciated your offer. So,
thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Too many Presbyterians in the room, huh?
I am.
He funeralized my mother. I just saw that. Yeah. I'm anxious to see him.
Thank you. Always good to see you.
As they start the renovations, if there's a problem, would you let me know?
Sure.
Please address it.
Okay, moving on. Where we lose Dick? Okay. Moving on to item four, second reading public hearing of an ordinance approving involuntary towing franchise agreements. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance granting not exclusive. Mrs. Davis, can we close the outside door, not this inside door, but the outside door for quiet, please? The title of this ordinance is an ordinance granting non-exclusive towing franchises for involuntary towing within the city limits of Aiken. On page 159, you have the 16 towing companies that are approved to be on this list. In addition to those 16, Allstate Towing and M&M Towing are being added. Under heavy-duty wrecker rotation, there are two entities listed, Broome Service Center and Wayne's Automotive Center. When council approved the ordinance to grant a franchise for involuntary towing within the city limits, you asked that this be reviewed on an annual basis based on a submittal from Chief Barranco and a review by Attorney Gary Smith. These are the companies that are approved. We have the rates in my cover memo. You approved this ordinance unanimously on first reading at your April 23rd meeting. And for City Council consideration tonight is second reading and public hearing for adoption of an ordinance approving our annual towing franchise agreement.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move.
I'll second. Okay, Dick, second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Good. New business. First reading of an ordinance to set millage rate for fiscal year 2012 to 2013. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. You do have the ordinance. The title is an ordinance to provide for the levy of taxes for ordinary city purposes and for capital development purposes in the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2012. Set the millage at 62 mills and to provide for the expenditures thereof. As part of the budget process each year, council has to approve a millage rate with the recent reassessment of property taxes and state restrictions on the millage rate. Our prior rate had been 66 mills. The legal rate could be as high as 62.2 mils based on a recommendation from staff, and then the budget, which we are about to review to balance, we are asking that that rate be set at 62 mils. For council consideration tonight is first reading of an ordinance to set the fiscal year 2012, and that should be 2012-2013, millage rate at 62 mils.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Just a question. Should the millage rate be done before the budget?
We typically do it in that order, okay, because that way, with the millage rate set, we know we have a balanced budget.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
So move.
Okay.
I second.
We have a second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance approving the budget for fiscal year 2012-2013. Mr. Pierce,
please. Mayor, thank you very much. The title of this ordinance is an ordinance adopting a budget proposed by the city manager containing estimates of proposed revenues and expenditures by the city of Avon for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2012 and ending June 30, 2013 is what the ordinance should read, and declaring that it shall constitute the budget of the city of Aiken. We had a work session on the 30th, council will recall, and reviewed the highlights of this budget. One question came up about frozen positions. We've gone back through the materials, and I've spoken with my department directors. The frozen positions are a secretarial position in the Neighborhood Development Services Division, a planning tech in the planning department, a public safety technician in the Aiken Department of Public Safety, and then in the Public Services Division, a part-time secretary. So those are the only four frozen positions that would continue to be frozen under this budget. We've provided you with the revenue estimates, the expenditures, and items that we consider to be part of the goal-setting session that you conducted at your Horizons retreat in January, as well as some of the major purchases outlined in my memo. We would do, as we do every year, approximately the end of July, 1st of August time frame, a reconciliation of this year's budget. We're going to determine whether there are any unspent funds, and if we do have sufficient unspent funds, we would propose a salary increase for staff. What we've calculated in the budget that is balanced before you tonight is a 1% salary increase, but again, that will be subject to the availability of funds. As we discussed at our work session, this budget shows the impact of mandates that we have from the federal and state government. There's a mandate from the State Department of Health and Environmental Control that we install a filter system at Shiloh Spring site. That's $1.5 million. We also have in this budget the first phase of meter replacement. And we've had a good and I think a productive discussion with the folks at Orion. They do have a stainless steel unit with no moving parts. And we're going to look very carefully at that because it appears to have a longer life, and it appears to have equipment in place that we wouldn't experience as we do with the brass meters that we're currently using, a slowdown in the measuring of the water flow rate. Again, we do have $1.2 million in for that. We also need to finish the Silver Bluff wells and water plant construction. And then we, as part of both the enterprise fund or utilities fund that I'm talking about and our general fund budget, the Federal Communications Commission has required us to narrowband. Anyone with radios are going to have to update their technology. Unfortunately, we have a healthy stock of radios that cannot be narrowbanded. Those that we can narrowband, we will. The repeaters we can narrowband, we will. We're still looking at approximately a $400,000 price tag to replace radios this year. So we're kind of hoping at some point these mandates stop and we can do our business like we care to do it without these mandates when the federal government shows up and tells us they're here to help us. Other than the Lawrence Street Bridge, we're a little bit leery of that. But for consideration tonight is the ordinance to adopt a budget for fiscal year 2012-2013 as discussed at our work session.
Very good. Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second? So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay, any discussion?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I have lots of questions, but as I've done in the past years, I will submit Richard a lot of questions that I have. We don't need to take everybody's time tonight, but there's a couple that come to mind.
Sure.
Page 197, when we, I guess I just want to use this to reiterate the need for us to have a discussion with the airport. It just amazes me, as large an operation as that is, that we're talking about $54,000. Really, we're talking about $42,000 because $12,000 is a federal grant. And I guess it just emphasizes the importance of getting together and hashing out how the airport is run.
Yes, and of course we have proposed a meeting tonight. As it turns out, the FBO's father, who is still in Australia, is gravely ill, so we would have not been able to have the meeting tonight anyway. And that is a goal that you adopted at your Horizons retreat, so we will have
it
that.
On page 194, we continue to provide, we're increasing, as a matter of fact, significantly increasing the amount of money we're providing to the Cumbie Center and a Child Advocacy Center, which is good. That's page 194.
It is good, Mr. Dewar, and as I mentioned at the study, the work session that we had on April 30th, it turns out that if we continue to hold that state money, they're going to want it back.
Yeah.
So we found a good local way for that.
Well, my only question is, we've got a lot of local agencies that certainly are worthy of consideration, Council of Aging, Christ Central, and so forth.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Dewar, we can't with this money. That's what we run into so many times with our revenue stream. We get the money in, but it can only go for a very specific purpose. So unless a crime victim is involved, that agency cannot be considered.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Takes care of that one. On page 188, this is where we're applying a lot of the accommodations tax money.
Yes.
I mean, I'll ask the obvious question, which begs the obvious answer, but I mean, we're doing this. I guess this is all in compliance. This is a use of accommodations tax money for maintenance, for building park maintenance, $55,000.
It's appropriate use of the money. It's involved in a function that attracts tourism to the city.
Which park are we doing that's going to attract tourism? Is that Citizens Park?
Which line item are you on?
It's the one for it's $55,000.
4135.
Buildings and Grounds Division.
Park maintenance,
yeah.
Right, that would be at Citizens Field,
that is Citizens,
HO
okay.
Week Center, the larger facilities, the Smith Hazel.
And forms printing, okay. I've always had the idea that accommodations tax money is pretty much restricted. 181.
Well, Dick, it does have restriction.
It does, that is correct. It needs to be connected to tourism generation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the city attorney could help me, but if I'm not mistaken, several years ago that was changed to allow some maintenance versus 100% outside the city.
Some minor maintenance, I think.
Right. Yeah, and the percentage was set in there somewhere what you can use. So
right.
It was
correct.
A change from the original accommodation. Right. I think Senator Ryberg is the one that put that one, good or bad, did that.
Well, it's very helpful to our operation.
Right.
Page 181.
Yes, sir.
Where we're in the stormwater fund, we've got a holding fund transfer of $18,000 and a depreciation fund of $41,000.
Mm-hmm.
Are we moving those monies in there to balance this account? Are we not collecting enough revenue from stormwater? Or
the depreciation money, and that's on page 186. The depreciation money is for the replacement of those assets. There's a Ford Ranger pickup truck, a F-250 truck that we're replacing, a backhoe attachment, and then we actually do depreciate the stormwater sewer system. So we're using those funds to work on those areas, University Lane, Highland Park, storm and retention, and then the Fox Chase Gabion.
Okay. The last two. Page 179.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the theater operations coordinator, which I am under the impression that we pay half and somebody else pays half.
I believe that's the whole salary, isn't that, Mr. Park? That's for Vivian Johnson.
The Community Playhouse contributes 28 hours to her salary, gotcha. And we contribute the balance and her benefit package.
Gotcha. So 28 hours of a 40-hour?
Yes.
So we're paying 12 hours plus benefits.
Correct.
All right, and my last question goes all the way in the beginning of page 13. I lied, I have two questions. Page 13, the fourth item down, where municipal building extension rent, is this the rent that we get from the Brinkley property? I know we don't, we have rent for is that reflected?
No, it's the extension. It's actually where the public safety building is. You know, that's rented. Not the public safety portion, but where that posh hairdresser is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the building rent for that portion of that building.
And do we get rent from the hot dog person?
No, because that's not on city property. We don't go that far. We stay on this side of the fence.
So the only city property that we're renting from the purchase of the Brinkley is that
that posh portion of the building front to back.
And we're getting only $7,200.
That's $600 a month, yes.
Is that fair with given the rest of the rents downtown?
You know, I think that goes back to the rent that was being charged when we purchased the property. If I'm not mistaken, that rent was carried forward. There was an existing lease.
Okay, and I will just, I still have a lot of questions. On that page 14, how much depreciation, when we see depreciation fund transfer in this budget, mm-hmm. that is generally to purchase the money from the accounts for which that asset was depreciated?
That is correct. I mean, and this, of course, that's for the general fund, so that goes everything from, you know, vehicles for finance all the way through public safety and the replacement of the police cruisers, all the way through public services and their purchase of a rear loading recycle truck, which is a big ticket item. But all that traces back to an asset. We purchase a truck and then we figure out the life of it, and we figure that at 125% so that at the end we have money to pay for that vehicle.
But we're not using depreciation to make up shortfalls any place.
No, sir. That depreciation is to replace an asset. It's assigned to a particular city asset, whether that's a car or a large, you know, heavy-duty truck like a garbage truck or recycle truck.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I noticed. We're buying two rear-loaded garbage trucks someplace.
I thought we were buying one. They may have asked for
two. Well, it may be the same one listed twice. It was down there in the pink slip towards the end. On page 227.
227?
Yeah, 227. Rail loading refuse packer. Now, this isn't budget. This is a five-year capital improvement, but it says it for this year.
That's not an expenditure. That's just the capital plan. The actual expenditure would be back.
Well, I understand, but I'm sure it's probably back there. But it says rail loading refuse packer replacement, and then a rail loading refuse packer replacement for $175, one for solid waste and one for recycling.
All right, just a second. Let me. There's probably better detail in the front part of the budget.
There's probably inconsistency between.
The five-year plan is not necessarily the expenditure that we're making this year. Okay. We do. Actually, if you look on page 127 for residential solid waste, we do have two rear-loading garbage trucks, and we are spending a total of $330,000. Now, again, those are depreciated assets, and we have depreciation to pay for that, but we are buying those two trucks. 127 is a more accurate reflection of the money we'll actually spend under this budget if you approve it at second reading on June 11th.
And these weren't... We sold vehicles, did we not, from not doing commercial garbage downtown?
Yes, and that's why we have the $330,000 to buy these new rear-loading garbage trucks.
And are these going to be these are just going to be, what, the blue barrel, green barrel?
This is solid waste, so those are garbage trucks that roll the roll cart up to, and it dumps into the back of.
Okay. All right, and as I have a lot of other questions. Some include the rent from Crosland Park and other people that live there. We should be getting to the point where, I don't know whether we've ever decided, but the idea was they were in there for a year.
Right.
Hopefully the credit would be repaired. They would be able to make a purchase. So we should be getting close to the point where some of those folks can be making a purchase.
We are reviewing that. I think we have to bear in mind, though, if we do an involuntary move of the tenant, we have to pay relocation costs. We were trying to avoid that because that could be a fairly large ticket. That's under federal law. Another mandate. It's another mandate.
Yeah, that we weren't told about ahead of time. But anyway, I think that was another 6-1 vote of mine.
Any other comments, questions?
But I will submit my other questions, and I have no objection to your sharing them with the rest of council.
No problem.
Okay. Yes. We've got a motion and a second.
We're not finished yet.
We're not finished yet. Okay.
I've got two or three items. One of them I had asked the city manager and city attorney to clarify the revenues for local option sales tax 1, 2, and 3. And the reason that question was asked, on local option 2, as we sit here today, we have about $4 million over the allotted projects, and some of that is tied up, about $1 million is tied up in the lawsuit with Pawnee Nielsen. And so one question was, can we transfer money from local option 3 to 2?
No.
And that's no. Now, how do we balance, and I'm going to use the $3 million because that's what it stands today. Obviously, there's going to be some over and unders.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the remaining projects, most of them could spend all of their money. You know, it's the landfill, and gosh, that goes on forever. And some of the others are going to pretty well eat up their money. So how do we balance that, or is that a long-term liability? And Mr. Pierce said, well, we'd look at it in 2 years or a year and a half.
No, I want to clarify that straight out. What I said is, in the past, typically the receipts have exceeded the original estimate. And certainly we do have some items that are listed in there that they're actually turned out to be grant money for. So what was listed for that particular item, what comes to mind is that Northside transportation study. We're actually getting reimbursed for the vast majority of that expense. I think we spent around $140,000. So that item will be an item that we will not spend the $200,000 that's listed there. So that gives us money. There are such things as open space money, and again, council's been holding up on that based on the open space element and the study we want to do there, and then figure out what we're going to do with that $1 million. So there is some money that's in the list that's kind of a yin to the yang of the overages we've experienced. And of course, what we're doing is trying to recoup money so that we don't have any shortages. But you did have several years ago when they did the training center, that was an $800,000 cost overrun, because I think it was estimated $150,000, and it actually went up about $900,000 was spent several years ago. So that's something that we have to balance out with the other projects.
The money, if this is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, from the local option 2,
right,
the cutoff date is December of this year for the taxing ability, and it takes about 6 months to get the money in.
Right, because so they'll have to
By next budget time, we should have the money in, and obviously you're working on some projects in the landfill that are major things.
They are.
So I guess my request would be that when we come into the next budget cycle, we start looking and see if we have any liabilities here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that would be my request, and be sure we're doing this within the law of the land, so to speak.
Absolutely.
The other question, On the, have you got Mr. Ben Ma with this revenue chart? Does he have one of these with him, or do you need to use mine?
No, I think Ms. Hale's loaded it on
I didn't see it in the package. It's the one that I had asked at our work session to be done.
Yeah.
If it's in the package, I missed it. But it could be there.
Mrs. Hale said she had...
I didn't see it in there. If it's not, I have one. Well, you and I have one.
We've got it for you, the display. My understanding is you want it available for council to put up on the screen.
Yeah, this one here that you worked up for me.
Right.
All right.
Ms. Hale said that she had loaded it on the laptop right there, Stuart. If you'll come up and click on it, we could pull it up.
Can you pull that one up, Ms. Sir?
I don't think it's in the agenda packet. I think it's loaded on that laptop that Stuart's working right now.
It's up there, okay. When we did the zero...
It's on the laptop on the screen.
No, it's on her PC.
Oh, it's on your PC. Sorry.
Here you go, Stuart. If she can't pull it up, I actually have two things to show. When we did the zero budget-based analysis, we dealt with expenditures, basically, on that, which was good. We went through excellent reviews.
Oh, you got it?
And what we didn't look at, and at the time it wasn't as big an issue then as it is now, was the revenue side of this. And this chart, when Mr. Bedmaugh puts it up there, and these are all the blue numbers. Mr. Pierce, you can explain the blue numbers. All of these are come from our revenue from 1998 forward.
That's budgeted revenue. Actual revenue tended to be higher.
Right. But these are
budgeted.
These are the numbers that came out of our budget, so it's the budgets and projected. So they're relatively correct. If they're off 1 or 2%, it doesn't really matter. But if you look at the blue line, we're now 4 years into basically a slightly negative effect. And Mr. Pierce noted that we're about $1,300,000 less in revenue this projected this year from FY 2008. Okay. The other thing you've got to look at is inflation goes on. And my understanding from talking to a couple of the people on the State Commission for Investments, they're using 2.3%. is an average inflation. So what we have, you've got the number from here, the red dot down to the blue dot. And if you got inflation above, that means you're spending less dollars, just like our pension checks that some of us get now. My approach is that I would think it'd be valuable for the city staff to take a look at our revenue streams and chart some of these out and see where the shortfall is really happening, and where I think the Business License Act was actually up a little bit this past year.
It is up. We're seeing overestimate on the accommodations tax money as well, and we really expect, since we've got traffic and tourism, we expect the LOST revenues to exceed. In fact, looking at the lost quarterly amounts, we're seeing that the last two quarters have been higher than the year before.
Well, hopefully that's a good indication of what's coming.
So.
I guess the other place, the question begs that, we're obviously having to make up inflation money, so we're not doing something. Are we borrowing some money from either the reserve funds or something? And I guess that's my concern. Is our budget really been that fat, or we're having to take some from our reserve funds to make this up? Because it's obviously nothing above the line that's helping us, and probably won't for another couple of years. So that's the question. How do we show where this extra money is coming from? Because our fixed cost is the same, and it rolls on every day.
Right. And you've got budgeted revenues that you put in the initial down blue dot, and then there's a dot to the right of that, so it's after the red dot, that first blue dot, and then there's the second blue dot. That first blue dot, that was projected revenue, and came in much higher than that. I was projected at 25 and change, and it actually came in over 27. So, actual revenue versus budgeted revenue is a little bit different. Now, in the next blue dot, that's 2010 and 11, while it is a downward trend, it's still above where that second blue dot is. So then this year is 2011 and 12. You know, we had a projected revenue. We'll know an exact revenue figure, as I said, end of July or 1st of August. So that's when you'll have some actual numbers.
So what you're saying is that's not correct as it stands now.
Well, it is correct if you look at the budgeted amount, Mayor, but the actual revenues have been higher than that blue amount. That's why
don't we want to look at actual revenues rather than the budget?
Well, that's why we're having this discussion, sure, to be sure we're on the same page.
Sure. Well, it looks like we're not.
Well, and that's what I would like us to get by the second reading, is get on the same page.
Right.
And because you can talk about minus depreciation and holding funds, too, and that's about $2 million worth. So I think my approach, and Mr. Pierce and I hassled over this, so we've already gone through
it
those.
It was a very friendly discussion.
Oh, very good. Friendly.
Very
hassle.
Friendly.
But I think it's important that we get these numbers accurately, because another couple of years of this, inflation isn't going away, so you're buying less every day with the same bucks. So that's my request, and I would like council to concur with that.
Sure. And one thing, too, just so council's clear, when we know we have reduced revenues based on the trending information that I'm holding in March, and you know that's the best projection we can make, we certainly reduce expenditures.
Well, right. But then it gets to be, after so long, where are we reducing and what is it hurting? And I think it's some, you know, it's not this year, because obviously we had some built up. But I think we need to really look at this seriously this year and be planning for another bad year or two. Even if it goes up 1%, our inflation is still there. So that'd be my request, that we get some real numbers, Mr. Mayor, and sure, present them at our second reading. And the only number that wouldn't be correct, obviously, is the 2012, 2013. And we get BLT in July and then property taxes in October.
And let me be clear, too. It wouldn't just be 2012-13. It's 2011 to 12, because we don't reconcile the budget until end of July.
Right.
Because there's, you know, we have to do a closeout. We close it out as of June 30th, but it takes us.
Well, at this stage, you've got in the big gorillas in the closet are already in pretty well, BLT.
So that's not correct. We get the insurance franchise monies like June 29th and a half.
Yeah, right, you're right. End.
And that's some big, big checks.
It is, yeah.
Well, then just we'll have through 2010, correct, and we'll mm-hmm. still have to deal with the 11 there. So that's my approach to that. The other thing that I think is important to put in the budget, if you'd show the second sheet, Mr. Bidenbaugh. I gave you two sheets of paper, I think.
Okay, we'll have to switch to the projector. That
yeah, he's got it in his hand. The second one I gave you there.
All right.
Show it up
the
there if you would. And this has been in the budget, in the minutes before. And I had asked the previous city manager to do this because it's such a large number in the projected funds. And Mr. Pierce has updated this with the water meters in it and all of the other enterprise fund items.
Yeah, the water plant and wells and the radium filter.
Since this goes up, I think it'll illustrate my comment.
Just for you tonight. Don't worry, just for you tonight.
It's telling us to wait.
Just for you.
It didn't like my chart.
There it is.
Okay. This chart was initially done in the 2010 budget, and if you look at the bottom of it here,
can we zoom in?
The real ups are right down here at the bottom of the page, and these numbers here skew your payouts and your depreciation numbers. And I think it's important to have this in the budget, because that's how we raised the water rates.
That's
it's,
right.
It's based off of this chart right here, plus the inflation of chemicals and electricity and so forth.
That was 2% of the 8% that you agreed.
It's 2% of the 8%. So it's and that has to come every if we don't have enough reserve, we have to raise it every year or do something, because it is an enterprise fund that's self-funding. And so I'd like this to be put in our package for the second reading.
Sure,
on that, if we could, please.
Yeah. And we'll make sure it's got current figures in it.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Let me make a comment. I've been trying to understand the government financing system for a while, and it's difficult, and it's difficult for good reasons. I'm not critical of it. If you go to page Roman numeral 7, where we talk about the revenues, the chart that Reggie is talking about, The second sentence, I think, is very important. These two funds vary from year to year depending on our scheduled replacement of fully depreciated equipment. Mm-hmm. So it's hard with this city budget to compare apples to apples because you don't get them. If you've got more depreciation last year than you do this year, that's going to affect the difference in revenue. At least that's what that sentence says.
Yeah, but the charts, you'll notice that we back out the holding funds and depreciation.
Yeah, yeah.
You so you do that. Compare apples to apples.
No, just you back out. Maybe I'm not understanding it.